Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on what? Brother Deacon Asa tells me, hot on both streams from the front porch. Don't forget to go to andrewyang.com and enter promo code used car salesman to enter the free meat drawing, everybody. Oh, that's cold, Brother Deacon. That is cold. But here we are at the end of the second full week of September 2019. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Yes, indeed. And, well, we don't get that many opportunities to do something like this, so by all means, let's make the best of it. Yeah, that's right. It's not just a Friday the 13th. It's a full moon Friday the 13th. And those are pretty rare. Now, I'm not superstitious, but dadgum, you know, we can have a little fun, I think. And, you know, watching the pageant last night, it felt more like yesterday should have been Friday the 13th. Oi. Did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part yet? I don't think so. Well, I am. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch, the 13th of September, 2019. We've got a merry little band gathering over in the Horn chat room, which is a merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, rollicking extravaganza during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Pick yourself out a screen name, password, jump right in. Anatole and Jimmy and Ralphs and Squeaky will all say howdy, and you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has indeed knocked all the rust off and for the second day running has folded space to become Man Cave. Hey, there's Roger popping in from lovely Oregon. Sparky says it's a smoky sun today there where he's folded space. Several fires to the west of him. Oh, dear. It's that time of year. But then again, with the climate crisis, it's that time of year all year long. So, I'm not particularly bent out of shape about a Friday the 13th, except for the fact that, well, we got a whopping nasty fundraising deficit this evening, which, by the way, just dropped to $560, thanks to Lady B. This program, thank you, Lady B, this program always begins with thanks, and thanks to our subscribers on what used to be the loneliest day of the month, but isn't any longer. Our 13th day of the month subscriber thank yous go out to Greg and to Kay and to Gary and Gaia out in Oregon. And Lady B just jumped in alongside them. So, yeah, our fundraising goal for the evening to finish the week is $560. What that boils down to is we finally managed to cover Mondays and Tuesdays and $40 worth of prayer meeting Wednesday. And so we've got $560 to go to finish the week. And I'm here, well, strictly as a matter of luck, I guess. We still have internet. Because, you know, today's the drop-dead date, and the drop-dead date ends at midnight. So, yay. But $560 is the fundraising goal. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live, click on contribute, and go from there. Beginning this evening, courtesy of Ralphs, thank you, Ralphs, thank you so very much. Beginning this evening and through the 20th, Ralphs will double the subscription for up to $10 a month brand new subscribers. So, you know, given the fact of, you know, what we recently learned, that for every person who contributes to this program, they're carrying about 100 other people. Well, if you'd like to become a subscriber and you'd like to see your subscription doubled, well, it would be wonderful. The Ralphs is standing there and waiting for 5 new subscribers between now and the 20th. Thank you, Ralphs, and hopefully that will entice some folks to jump in. And remember, now it's hard to find something that resonates. Nobody likes McDonald's, so the less than half a hamburger thing doesn't work, and the less than half of a hash brown patty doesn't work. How about the fact that you can't even buy a package of chewing gum for what it costs per day for a $10 a month subscriber? Less than half the cost of a pack of gum, you know, back in the day, nickel, dime, whatever. No, pack of gum's $1. And so here we are, and we desperately need to get caught up this evening. And thank you, Lady B, for getting us started. It is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. If you would like to participate in the long-running Friday group conversation, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, well, I highly encourage you to go over to headon.live. The link to the Skype group is right there, and we'll get that conversation started in fairly short order. I think people are already filtering in, looks like, and we'll probably have another one of our fantastic end-of-the-week conversations. So feel free to jump in and participate. We got plenty of room for you, and there will be plenty of opportunity to be heard. So if you've never been part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, it's not for want of an invitation. Okay. And if everything works as I would like for it to do, then there's a reason to believe that this evening we'll even have the stress line. If you absolutely can't figure out how to make Skype work, well, we'll have the stress line there for you. I've got family in this weekend, and I'm looking forward to what it boils down to is there's 3 slabs of ribs and 2 chickens. 2 whole chickens brining right now outside. And oh, probably about sunrise tomorrow, I'm going to get up, crawl out of bed, and go and fire up the smoker, get the fire just so, load up the hickory, and put in the ribs and the chickens, and let the hickory pour to them for a little while. And then tomorrow night we will have a ribs and chicken feast. There may even be some photos on social media of the proceedings and the merriment, because it may be, it's 85 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, but this is not going to last. These warm, exquisitely hot end of summer days. My God, it is the 13th of September. That means there's not even 10 days of summer left. And there's already red on the leaves, and it's going to be an early fall color season here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by coal, Trump genius, Stan. Of course, last night, I don't know how many of you actually watched the pageant. I knocked off an hour early because I felt like it was incumbent upon me to watch it. And, yeah, I sometimes did feel like Odysseus lashed to the mast while everybody rowing alongside beside me. You know, they had the beeswax in their ears. But, you know, I listened. I paid attention. And, oh, Joe. Say it ain't so, Joe. God almighty. One of the earliest flashpoints in the evening centered on health care. And so I have a note here from Lady B on exactly that topic. Lady B writes, yesterday, when you attempted in earnest to make the case for why Medicare for All is so desperately needed, all I could think to say was, amen. Currently, I'm on Medicaid. I have to stay just at or below some arbitrary poverty level to qualify. It sucks, and it's actually quite horrifying when you think about it, but it's at least something. After all, there are some states with leaders who will gladly do less. Yeah, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana. No, Louisiana got in on it. Arkansas's in on it, sorta. Texas, well, the debate was in Texas, and as noted last night, Texas has the largest population of uninsured people in the United States. And the Republican government of Texas is just fine with that. So, yeah, Lady B's right. There are some states that are perfectly happy to do as little as possible for their citizenry. Lady B says, I would love to work full-time. Hell, I would love and deserve to have an office. Fuck a cubicle. Problem is my brain won't let me keep my paranoia in check long enough to keep a job. I'm plenty smart. 2 college degrees smart. I just can't focus. I also think I'm terribly screwed up. I fucked up great opportunities because I was desperate for attention and approval. Someone always had to tell me how good and smart I was. I would do great, but inevitably, the paranoia that I was never good enough would send me into a panic. I couldn't think rationally, so I'd quit or get fired. It was the most destructive and depressive cycle a person could engage in, and I was exceedingly good at it. I was diagnosed with PTSD almost 3 years ago. That diagnosis came courtesy of the coverage I received under the Medicaid expansion. Until that point, I spent the last 25 years going from therapist to therapist, doctor to doctor, all the while being fed a steady diet of antidepressants. See, my therapist couldn't prescribe drugs because they were not medical doctors, and medical doctors were only going off of what they were recommended because they're not psychiatrists. Going to a regular psychiatrist was too expensive, so that was out of the question, hence my fruitless mental health control search. I worked hard to find the help I did wherever I could. But since my treatment's been so piecemeal, my current doctors had to start all over again. There is no nationwide permanent record. It was a stupid and expensive merry-go-round, and I still have PTSD. The expansion of Medicaid was a literal lifesaver. Now I've got medical, basic dental, and can see both a therapist and a psychiatrist. It's not everything, but it helps. So to the residents of Colorado, thank you. You helped save the life of a fellow American. You done real good. Employment-wise, I don't think I can ever get a good job working for the man again. I've got a resume that reads like an employment recruiter's worst nightmare. And I don't want to go back into a call center. So I make do by cleaning buildings. My company, thankfully, specializes in hiring folks like me. It's okay. And I get to listen to Bob while I work. Smiley face. I've been at my current gig for 2.5 years. It's the second longest job I've ever held in my life. My other gig was radio for 9 years. Legal weed has also done wonders for me. Not to stand on a soapbox, but I actually feel like a real person now. I don't disassociate as much anymore. I'm not as desperate for approval anymore. My nights are still a little rough sometimes, but the weed makes them more tolerable. I can write again. I actually like myself. We like you too, Lady B. Medical cannabis allows me to temporarily forget about how I got here. It also gives me incredible focus. I can pay attention to what I'm doing and listen to the impressive Bob Kincaid, with his slight southern style, and I can appreciate music more, like the gorgeous string section and saxophone in the song currently playing in my headset, Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street. Quite possibly the coolest rock and roll sax solo of all time. Man, that thing just blows out. It'll move your hair. Lady B says, I've got a master's degree. I used to be on both radio and television. Think of what I could have become if I would have had continuous access to mental health care coverage and the meds that could accurately diagnose and treat my condition. Coverage that didn't stop when I lost my job. One that would have allowed me to continue treatment and keep my illness in check. So, yeah, it's personal for me and Bob. Personal to both of us because we're fucking human beings. Personal for Bob because he needs to be healthy to continue to do the work he's doing, which is speaking truth to power. He's also working to help save the lives of thousands of Appalachians whose own health is under constant threat from greedy corporations. And who the fuck are we to judge what anybody should be doing to deserve medical insurance? If I can add editorially here, this is where you would add a drop, an audio drop of Clint Eastwood saying, deserving's got nothing to do with it. And it really doesn't. If as several of the candidates said, or at least a couple of the candidates said last night, health care is a human right, then deserving never enters into the equation. So, again, and who the fuck are we to judge what anybody should be doing to deserve medical insurance? Do you really think you're benefiting by denying folks like Bob the medical coverage to go to the doctor? Would you prefer to see damn near the same amount of money it will cost for Medicare for all to be implemented as another tax cut for the rich? We need to recognize that man is not an island. Everybody will die. Fucking health care shouldn't be seen as a privilege. We can afford national health care. We've always been able to afford this. Let's stop talking about what we can and cannot afford. We have no idea where most of our taxpayer money goes anyway. Remember, kids, for every job we can't or won't do, there's another human being who will and or has, too. They eat, sleep, and shit just like you. They work two jobs. They wipe the elderly's asses. They clean toilets. They do entertaining podcasts. Some even donate blood every few months. Blood. You know, the thing that keeps you alive. The same blood you may unknowingly receive someday. It's ironic, don't you think? Yeah, Lady B, ironic. And to a certain extent, well, infuriating. Because it's that deserving concept. Our betters, you know, the 0.1% and the 1% and the 2 and the 3 and the 4 and the 10%. They got a lot of deserving. It's like a professor of mine used to say about the difference between A's and F's. He said over the long course of a professorial career that he had noticed that students get A's but are given F's. I got an A. That sorry bastard gave me an F. There's a kernel of truth, more than a kernel, a whole cob of truth in that. And so we've got a drone class controlling the vast amount of the wealth in this country, who damned well think they deserve to, I guess, because, you know, they're beloved of God, or, you know, there's some sort of sicko neo-Calvinists, or who knows? Or, you know, they were born into wealth, therefore they deserve to get more wealth. And sadly, it is kind of a zero-sum game where that's concerned, because the more they accumulate, the less there is for the rest of us. And live simply so others may simply live does not enter in to the equation for America's wealth class, plain and simple. So thank you for those words. Thank you for that sharing, Lady B. It opens up an entire realm of conversation going forward. Oh, and before I was about to forget, because just dive on in, there is a challenge on the table this evening. In addition to Ralph's offer to double $5-$10 a month subscribers subscriptions, well, there's a challenge on the table to the tune of $100, courtesy of Chris in Germany. And that would take a substantial bite out of the hole that we're in. Which, recall, is at $560. It is Chris's Pageants Suck $100 challenge. So for every dollar that comes in, and it was technically on the table before Lady B's came in, so we're $10 along the way toward a $100 challenge this evening. Lady B needs 9 more friends at $10 a piece. If 5 of those were new subscribers, we could get Ralph's challenge and Chris's at one in the same time. Or part of Chris's. So please bear that in mind as we go forward through the program this evening. 560. What's the line from eastbound and down? What did Jerry Reed sing? We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Yeah. Now, what I said earlier, that Lady B's note opens a lot of doors to the discussion of what happened last night, and there was a lot that happened last night. And hey, whoever's up there in the senior staff of the Bernie campaign that listens to this program and heard me make that wager about nobody will have the guts to call out the anti-healthcare ads, welcome. Appreciate it. Happy to help. Because lo and behold, I was wrong. Bernie called out the stupid Klingon anti-Medicare for All ads. And in the grand scheme of things, that turned out not to be the worst ad. As bad as it was, we deconstructed it last night. But we'll get there in due time. I do get frustrated watching these pageants. And I do give credit where credit is due, because Beto has decided he's going to spend the remainder of his campaign, however long that may be, talking to Americans like Americans talk amongst themselves. So the roof just about raised on that auditorium at Texas Southern University last night, an HBCU, when thinking that they had him in a gotcha corner, those gazillionaires from the multi-billionaire for-profit media at ABC, one of them looked at Beto and said, "So are you telling America's gun owners you're going to take their guns away?" And bless his heart, he said, "Hell yeah, we're taking your AR-15s and your AK-47s away. If they're weapons of war and they're being used against our children, Yes, we're taking them away. And that was as refreshing as ice cold water to somebody coming in from the Mojave Desert. I mean, damn, that was good. The rest of the crowd wasn't quite as good at coming back against the bullshit questions from bullshit artists like George Snuffleupagus. Props to Kamala Harris for sticking a couple of what are they called, banderillas? I can't remember my bullfighting technology, but she got a couple under Nitwit Nero's hide. She referring to the Wizard of Oz, she referred to him as that dude. And maybe that's California speak, but it gave me the distinct impression that Kamala has never actually seen the Wizard of Oz. And okay, but maybe she's seen, I mean, because we're roughly not, you know, exactly the same age, but pretty close generationally. Come on, Kamala, I'm going to sound so white for this. You saw The Wiz, didn't you? I mean, you can't get any whiter than me, and I saw The Wiz. Because that dude behind the curtain is actually the dude that the movie's named after. Ah, but never mind. That's it. That's small potatoes. And it was a slightly funny moment. And it probably did get in under the chlamydia Claudius's skin and lodged in that thick layer of adipose tissue there. And I dare say that the adipose tissue on Nitwit Nero is probably enough to do substantial harm to the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. But that's okay. I got plans for Central, Mountain, and Pacific, too, later if we get around to it. But the thing that drives me crazy and is the inability of the rest of the field to talk like people instead of talking like they're working off a script that has been ruthlessly focus grouped, which of course they are. Plain and simple. Like, what happens when the question rolled around, well, can you promise that you're not going to take health care away from 150 million Americans? The answer to that is so goddamn easy. Yeah, I can promise I'm not going to take health care away from 150 million people, because if we pass Medicare for all 335 million people in the United States are going to be insured for less money than it costs right now. Or to get all Beto on her ass, hell yes, I can promise that. But so often, our side tends to campaign from a position of fear. And so it appears to be with the healthcare thing. And, you know, what a... what an unnecessarily hot mess that whole debate is. Hey, look, there's a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, jumping in this evening. Howdy, Steve. And thank you very kindly to our dear sister Jude up in the great Northwest, having returned home from a women's standing stand on behalf of the suffering at the southern border. Jude just took us down to 535. Thank you, Jude. And that means that there's only $55 left in Chris's challenge. Thank you, Jude. 55 bucks. The challenge is done. And then we will move on toward the... So that would mean we'd be down to 360, which would be tremendous. Thank you, Jude. The healthcare discussion, it was largely a mess that was driven by the gazillionaires on the questioning panel. Oh, by the way, there was talk of healthcare, but as is almost always the case with these pageants, it's what doesn't get talked about that winds up making news. And so while there was sort of broad talk about how a Medicare for All plan might work, guess who went begging last night? More than half the population of the United States went begging last night because there was not a single question asked about health care as it relates to women. Oops. Yeah. And we still haven't quite figured out that the way we talk about a woman's right to control the workings of her reproductive system is, in fact, best done in constitutional terms. You've heard me do it 100 times if you've heard me do it once. Because any time a Republican talks about taking away a constitutional right, you just say, groovy. You're in favor of taking away constitutional rights that you don't like. Well, I don't like you having a gun, Jerry Falwell, so fuck you, buddy. We'll take that. It's a constitution. Yeah, so's the right to abortion, dumbass. And I guess Jerry Falwell is the new Hurricane Dorian. The story that won't go away because he won't shut up. Mercifully, they didn't figure out a way to shoehorn him into the pageant last night. But I'll bet it's not for want of trying. Ultimately, though, and I suspect this may wind up being part of the larger discussion, in the extraordinary ordinary roundtable, one exchange stood out. And by stood out, I mean in an, oh, Jesus Christ, really? Kind of way. Even a holy shit kind of way. And I'm talking about the moment when Joe Biden more or less melted down
the password is record player
I think we're just going to have to run the clip in its entirety so that we can do proper analysis of it. And, of course, the usual disclaimer. I would vote for an old yeller dog if an old yeller dog got the Democratic nomination for president. Primarily because an old yeller dog would make a far better president than the current orange pissant is making. We might even say that an old yeller dog trumps an orange pissant. Oh, and by the way, while the pageant was going on, the orange pissant was losing his mind in a stream of consciousness babble generated by his disordered mind. And at one point he complained in Baltimore, which he said was rat infested not too long back. Most every American city has rats. Every American city has rats. However, there's a distinct possibility that since Trump has been there, Baltimore will now have bed bugs. You know, the whole bed bugs thing makes more sense now. When you think back to that one piece of video from a few weeks back, when the fly crawled up into his hair and was never seen again.
Help me.
Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut says, I watched the pageant via ABC live stream through my smart TV and saw no anti-Medicare for All ads, thankfully. Good grief, what a relief. But I had to see tons of ads about how wonderful ABC News is. In any case, Bernie impressed me with bringing up those dastardly ads in the so-called spin room. Tired of how Biden continues to patronize Kamala, calling her kiddo at one of the previous debates, and goodness knows what he said to her last night. She maintains that forced smile and puts up with it. But I wish she'd just haul off and slap him while uttering Jesus, bitch, one of these nights. What a clapback that would be. Please, just one of these nights. Just once. And there are so many little power plays going on in the background that you don't know what kind of deals have been struck or who's said what to whom. Is it that far out of the realm of possibility that someone on Biden's team would go up to some of these other candidates and say, yeah, listen, he's going to be the nominee. You know it, and I know it. Now, you can either be in the tent pissing out or out of the tent pissing in. What's it going to be? Some people aren't impressed. Julian Castro arrived in Houston with precisely zero fucks to give and has been excoriated all day long for calling Biden on his questionable relationship with facts. Beto is not even in the same area code with any more fucks to give. Andrew Yang, for as much as I think he means well, he hasn't grown out of his Ayn Rand libertarian streak quite yet. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of clapping back. Just once, like I said last night, I'd like to see. Because there were a couple of, well, you know, Donald, and it's always George Snuffleupagus. How anybody takes that man seriously, I will never know. But there were a couple of occasions when he said, well, Donald Trump says, and I just wanted just once for somebody to break in and go, yeah, and Donald Trump is crazy as Cooter Brown's outhouse rat. What's your point? There's nothing that Donald Trump says that has any relevance, and for the most part, most of what he says isn't even related to life on Earth. again, he was given a speech last night during part of which he bemoaned light bulbs. He wants incandescent light bulbs back because the lighting is terrible. It makes me look orange. No, stupid. The tanning bed bulbs and the spray tan make you look orange, you fucking dipshit. Huh. Just once. Oh, and thanks very kindly. Jumping in on the challenge, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to $30. $30 to finish Chris's challenge, and then we'll work on the rest of it. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very, very kindly. In reference to my old yeller dog comment, Lee in New York says, "Who's a good president? Who's a good president? You are. Yes, you are. You're a good president." Old yeller dog. Here, yeller. Come back, yeller. Scott in San Diego. Sending best wishes for Lady B. Thank you, Scott. Biden and analog from Flavio in Wisconsin. I agree. Analog is warmer than digital, Joe. But the question was about racism. True. Let's get to that moment, though, because of all the moments in almost 3 hours of the pageant, and there were many moments, this was the one that Agnes and I watched it together, and this was the one that had our heads on a swivel. We almost knocked each other unconscious, because I was looking off in one direction, listening. She was looking at something in the other direction. And when he got to record player, we both whipped our heads around and were millimeters from braining each other. Note coming in from Kyle. Subject, defeating the Republicans' use of the argument of cost for small business owners when trying to argue against giving health care to more people. It's very easy to defeat this Republican talking point. If more people, or everyone, have health care through means other than their employer having to provide it, government provided, they won't feel the need to go and seek a job that offers employer-paid health care, as this will no longer be a necessity under a universal health care system. And add along with all that the different conditions and health issues people would actually be able to get treatment for because of a universal health care system, it's so easy to defeat them. How is approval not at 80% for this type of system? Well, the answer to that is that support is substantial among people with working brains, but then there are Republicans, maggots, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpansies. And they have they all taken together have the IQ of a goldfish. And a goldfish that's not particularly astute at that. You know, they're just otne ute eitbre, if you one what I een may. Now, see, with that one little phrase, I've probably tied up God knows how many little lurking maggot brains for the entire weekend.
I don't know why you can't talk no English.
one little dickhead I saw on social media complained about Spanish being spoken in the debate and said, we've got to have the commonality of a single language, or else what is E Pluribus Unum for? I laughed for a good long while at that. We need to speak English, therefore I will quote some Latin. Yeah. What part of the word all in Medicare for All do these dumbasses not understand? My God. And immediately after Beto said what he said, my God, the maggot brains started melting. To the point that there's some asshole in the Texas legislature who immediately tweeted out a threat against the life of Beto O'Rourke.
My AR-15 is ready for you, Robert Francis.
His name's Cisco or Brisco or Crisco or... No, no, wait. Crisco is what he takes with him when he goes down into the basement bathroom. And he's done stunts in the past like sneaking a gun into the Texas Democratic Convention. Sick fucker. And then, of course, you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. And I always go back to the first Men in Black when the bug lands on the farm in upstate New York and hears the neck say that. And from down in the pit answers, your offer is acceptable. And proceeds to eat the gun fetish neck. It would be, if it wasn't going to be so tragic, it would be downright humorous to see some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual standing out in his yard with his AR-15 hugged up against him, and he's got his 100-round magazine, and he's going to defend freedom, because the only thing that these gun humpers think about when they mention freedom is guns. There's no freedom not to be slaughtered in Walmart. No freedom not to be blown away trying to get into a bar in Dayton, Ohio. No freedom not to be gunned down in a nightclub in Orlando. No freedom to sit in your little first-grade seat in Sandy Hook and not be blown away by Adam because Mother Lanza was a goddamn paranoid fucking hoarder. Hoarder! No. But I do love the idea of just, he's just standing there. You can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. And all of a sudden, no more gun. No more cold, dead fingers. And freedom protecting Cletus never even heard the drone. It's on them, not us. Because we've had a law in the past that said, we're not going to sell any more assault rifles. And guess what? Gun deaths went down. But as quick as the Republicans got power again, that didn't matter. And gun deaths started climbing again. Because guns are more important than babies, which is kind of ironic for Republicans, being how they spend so damn much time talking about how they love the precious little fetuses. Shh. Jesus. Well, they can't help it. They have little teeny tiny brains, these maggots. And they're doing the best they can with them, I guess. But, yeah. There's always a movie reference out there somewhere for something. And in this case, you know, the Second Amendment freedom loving American freedom lover. Yar. And that immediately called to mind a moment in that classic of cinema verite. I'm talking about Red Dawn, the original one, with the little dude with his assault rifle standing there, and the attack helicopter comes over the ridgeline. Wolverines! And he's unloading, and he's melting the barrel, and he's melting the barrel, and nothing's happening, and the helicopter's still coming, and then no more Wolverine. Oops. Because assault rifles are great for killing innocent civilians in ambushes at Walmart, but they're not worth a fuck for deer hunting. They're a horrible weapon for home defense because the rounds are meant to pierce things, and as like as not, they'll pierce a wall and kill somebody you care about instead of the bad guy, or go through the bad guy and still kill somebody you care about. They have no place anywhere other than on a battlefield. Except for the artificial place that has been created for them among sexually uncertain guys who haven't seen their feet since the Reagan administration, who somehow feel more vibrant and potent if they can just scare people. All right. Thank you very kindly to Steve from Georgistan and Miss Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy. That took us down to $20. And Philip in Baltimore just took us down to $5. And Colin took us down to completing Chris's challenge, which takes us down to $370, and now we are at $330, thanks to Colin. $330 to go to finish for the week. So thank you. Thank you to Steve, and thank you, Philip, and thank you to Colin. Thank you very kindly indeed. All right, so I'm going to get to the passage that I meant to get to. It's just one long series of digressions, unfortunately. But you remember how poorly received, and I'm not relitigating 2016, this is just a fact, you remember how poorly received Hillary Clinton's offhanded remark about super predators was. Wasn't in office. It was just a statement by a citizen, for all intents and purposes. But she used the term super predators and had it hung around her neck like a millstone during the entirety of the 2016 campaign. Because it was pretty horrible thing to say. You can pile all the context around it that you want. It's still horrible. The thing is, last night something happened in the pageant that was more horrible than super predators by orders of magnitude that only astrophysicists can understand. And this is the exchange.
Vice President, I want to come to you and talk to you about inequality in schools and race.
Okay. One, woman of color asking the question. Two, let's pay attention to what the question's about. Questions of inequality and race. Pretty clear, isn't it? I should hope. First off, when she says, I want to ask you a question about inequality and race, Joe Biden laughed. He laughed. I don't know what's funny about questions of inequality and race, but something about it is funny to Joe Biden. I don't know. I don't know who could tell me what it is that's funny. But the laugh was about the most cogent part of the answer. Again, the question is about inequality and race.
Vice President, I want to come to you and talk to you about inequality in schools and race. In a conversation about how to deal with segregation in schools back in 1975, you told a reporter, I don't feel responsible for the sins of my father and grandfather. I feel responsible for what the situation is today, for the sins of my own generation, and I'll be damned if I feel responsible to pay for what happened 300 years ago. You said that some 40 years ago.
Did you notice the oohs coming from the audience there at Texas Southern? That's for a reason. Because his entire career is full of horrible statements like this.
But as you stand here tonight, what responsibility do you think that Americans need to take to repair the legacy of slavery in our country?
Well, they have to deal with look, there is institutional segregation in this country. And from the time I got involved, I started dealing with that. Redlining, banks, making sure that we are in a position where, look, we talk about education. I propose that what we take is those very poor schools, the Title I schools, triple the amount of money we spend, from $15 to $45 billion a year.
Remember, the question is about racial inequality or educational inequality and race. He has just equated poor schools with race. To anyone really paying attention, this is no surprise. Because he has also equated, and he caught himself and fixed it on the fly, but the bats had already flown out of the belfry at that point, the time when he said, poor kids can be just as smart as white kids. Joe Biden has a race problem. He doesn't like being told he has a race problem because crotchety septuagenarians don't like being told that things that they have believed for 70 years aren't necessarily true, might never have been true. He hears black, he hears black kids, he thinks poor schools. He hears black, he thinks poor.
Give every single teacher a raise, so the equal raise of getting out the $60,000 level. Number two.
That's cool. Give the teachers a raise. Amen.
Make sure that we bring in to help the teachers deal with the problems that come from home. The problems that come from home.
Because it all does begin in the home. It really does. Children who don't have educational support at home tend not to do as well. But again, he's equating, he is saying that somehow or another African-American parents are not as good a parent as white parents are. And it's just fundamentally and statistically untrue. But we haven't even gotten to the hockey puck part. So there's your poor black kid who's poor and black because poor and black in a home being raised by people who are poor and black and therefore aren't doing such a good job being parents. Am I the only one that was just damn near nauseated by this exchange? And he's going to get, if he is the nominee, he's going to get worn out with this.
Every single teacher a raise to the equal raise of getting out of the $60,000 level. Number two, make sure that we bring in to the help the student, the teachers deal with the problems that come from home. The problems that come from home, we have one school psychologist for every 1,500 kids in America today. It's crazy. The teachers are, and I'm married to a teacher. My deceased wife is a teacher. They have every problem coming to them. We have to make sure that every single child does, in fact, have 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds go to school, not daycare, school. We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do.
Black parents just don't know how to raise children. Don't you understand? Joe understands. God damn. It's 2019 and the so-called front runner is saying things that I grew up hearing out of the mouth of George goddamned Wallace. And if that's unfair, it ain't unfair. It's only unfair if you think it's unfair to point out these obvious shortcomings. Because that's the kind of talk you got out of James Eastland and George Wallace and Lester Maddox and Strom Thurmond. That's straight up White Citizens Council shit. We need to send social workers into poor black homes to teach them how to be parents. I had occasion once upon a time to work pretty closely with Child Protective Services in a professional capacity. And I lived in a county that literally had no black folks in it. And yet somehow or another, our Child Protective Service workers were worked to exhaustion because we had a superabundance of white families who really had no idea of how to care for children. I remember one instance when children were pulled out of a home because the home they were in was unheated and wasn't really a home. It was a chicken coop. And neither of the white parents had any idea that they ought not be trying to raise babies in a chicken coop. I ain't making that up. This passage is so shocking that it should be disqualifying for any candidate who uttered it. But it looks like Joe's going to get a pass. And instead, When the nattering nabobs there on my filthy morning habit touched on the story, it was there for 15 seconds and it was gone, and all they did was chuckle. They chuckled. The morning millionaires chuckled at what you have just heard and what we are about to finish hearing. They chuckled.
Three, 4, and 5-year-olds go to school. School, not daycare. School. We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there.
That is a discredited piece of pseudoscientific babblicious bullshit. He almost said gramophone. I swear to God he said gramophone. But he said record player. And, yeah, vinyl's real hip right now. It's enjoying a bit of a renaissance. But Joe is so not with it. He probably still has a record player. And he probably still gets out those thick Benny Goodman records and taps his toe. Jesus. Record players. And that was the part where Agnes and I damn near brained each other. And just one last piece of information. For anybody who thinks that this was a one-off, there's one more thing. It wasn't a one-off. He was repeating something he heard over a decade ago, maybe two decades ago. And nobody's ever bothered to straighten him up on it. It was 2007, before the 2008 campaign kicked off in earnest, I guess, and Joe gave an interview to the Washington Post. And this is what he said. This is the passage from that interview. Explaining why schools in Iowa are performing better than those in Washington, D.C., Biden told the Post, "There's less than 1% of the population of Iowa that's African American. There's probably less than 4 or 5% that are minorities. What is in Washington? So look, it goes back to what you start off with, what you're dealing with. When you have children coming from dysfunctional homes, when you have children coming from homes where there's no books, where the mother from the time they're born doesn't talk to them, as opposed to the mother in Iowa who's sitting out there and talks to them, the kid starts out with a 300-word large vocabulary at age 3. Half this education gap exists before the kid steps foot in the classroom," the Delaware Democrat added. This is going to be our standard bearer? This is the guy who's going to reverse the Nazi onslaught, the white supremacist onslaught that Donald Trump has brought with him? Blows my mind. Yeah, and Bernie or Warren will probably take New Hampshire. There's a good chance one of them will take Iowa. Bernie's even looking good in Nevada. But if Biden runs away with it in South Carolina, Biden's campaign will continue, and we will continue to be called, he will continue to be called the front runner, the presumptive nominee, and all of that inside the Beltway Mandarin horse shit. And I could be entirely wrong, but I have a sneaking suspicion that that way lies disaster. And I guess we wait and see, because as I've pointed out in the past, what my preferences are don't matter, because I'm not going to vote until the middle of May of 2020. And instead, people in states that may not even give their electoral college votes to the Democrats are going to get are going to pick out who is the most viable. And the more I think about it, the more that pisses me off. Jesus. And we're getting ready to go to the go into the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And before we go, I want to let you know there's some good news on the table. Courtesy of the sorority of Lean, and that would be Charlene and Darlene, there are $200 worth of challenges on the table, which will finish fundraising, if they are met, finish fundraising for the week and a little bit to the good. And thanks to Frank for jumping in. If both challenges are met, we'll be $80 better off. So there's $200 worth of challenges on the table, and let's please not let these things go by the wayside. Thank you to the sorority of Lean, Charlene and Darlene. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. All right. So let's go over to the old holler tree where waits the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. I'm just standing here looking at the old holler tree with Grady at the north door trying to figure out what caused this orange sun today, because the rest of the sky is blue.
But it's off to the west, right?
Yeah, it's miles and miles off to the west. It's in the Coast Range.
Oh, that means some redwoods are going up, right?
No.
Okay,
no, no,
good.
No,
that would make me very that would make me very sad.
That's the coast. It's not the mountains.
What do I know from coast versus coast range? Sounds like a mountain range that's on the coast.
Yeah, but the mountain range, it's the coast range here. When you get over towards the redwoods, you're looking at the other side of the mountain, so to speak.
Okay.
The redwoods are more on the coastal plain, so to say, I guess you'd say, that wraps around Highway 101 that goes up the coast.
That's the Pacific Coast Highway, right?
No, Highway 1 is the Pacific Coast Highway.
Slowly but surely, I'm learning my California geography.
I did the whole Highway 1 deal one years ago when I was on leave in the service with my buddy from high school. I went in the Air Force right after me. We were both on leave together. He was going to Taiwan and I was going to Thailand. So we decided to go all the way down to San Diego to see a buddy of ours from high school, and also to see his brother who was stationed at Long Beach in the Navy. So when we came back, we took Highway 1 all the way up the coast and everything through San Francisco, and then you go over the Golden Gate, and then you cut back to the coast and You stay along the coast the whole time. And then once they get to Fortuna, we decided it was enough. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were taking turns driving. So we headed over the coast range back to Red Bluff on Highway 36, which is a windy, twisty road from Fortuna.
Wow.
You got me thinking about record players. My sister in the 50s had one of these box record players. And then she had a, that I posted a picture of.
Yeah.
And then she had a little box, an upright box that she put all her 45s on. And if you know anything about those record players, you could stack your 45s on that thing. And then we would once it finished playing, the arm would come back and it would eject another record. It'd come down and start just like on Happy Days or whatever.
Yeah, mine would autoplay. If you lifted the lid, it would start, you know, pretty cool.
But I wanted to tell you, does anybody know what a wire recorder is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Because I've got one. I don't have the guts that used to feed it, but it's in an old radio case. And we had this guy come and take all the vacuum tubes and all that stuff out of it and the guts out of it, except the wire recorder, try and fix it years and years and years and years ago. Never brought it back. Never got it back.
Those are very rare, Sparky.
I know. So it's all it is it's a piece of furniture now.
Yeah,
you know, had the lift up cover on the front, and then there was a record player on one side, and then below it was a wire recorder.
Was there a radio built in? Because a lot of those consoles,
it had a radio in it.
Had
and
a solid state, yeah.
And then it had this green eye for tuning on it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I wonder if that was a Zenith. Because Zenith, I think, was the company with the electronic eye. That was one of their cutting-edge features.
They were considered furniture. You know, they were furniture at one time.
I'm sure it's from the 30s, at least.
Holy cow. No, I'm thinking it's the 60s models, the consoles, the played records. And they had a nice speaker system came with it, too.
No, I think my dad got it from his parents.
Well, the wire recorders were late 40s, super early 50s. The tape came in the late 50s.
Okay.
Okay. I'm thinking of the model I had. It was console, you know. It was huge. It was heavy as hell, too. But, man, it could jam.
Do you have any reels with the wire, Sparky?
Yeah,
the
wire
is like about an eighth of an inch wide. Maybe a quarter inch. I've never played with one, but I've heard tell that you can.
It's thinner than piano wire.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. Well, that was the way stuff was recorded.
Of course, Mom sanded mine down and sprayed it, painted it pea green. That's what everybody did with everything back in the 70s. That ruined it, man.
Yeah, well, this is just as it. Left in the cabin.
Way back when I was tiny, we had one. I forget what the model was, but it was high tech for its time because it was mono, but it had separate mono speakers. And you could stack probably stack a half a dozen 33s on it. I'm talking about record players.
See, old Joe's got us waxing philosophically. It's kind of cool.
Walking down memory lane, you know.
Hey, John.
Hey, Uncle John.
Well, you know, John Bredevo.
How you doing, Bob? Steve? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Your guy did great last night, man.
Who's that? Oh, the singer?
No, Beto.
Oh, Beto, yeah, he gave, yeah, he gave the Republicans all the talking points they're going to need for a little while.
He was kicking ass and taking numbers, man.
He was passionate about his response, and that's why he said that what he did. You know, he was.
Well, I like his vivid stories about seeing the surgeons in the hospital there in El Paso, because you know they had the Fort Bliss or whatever it is right next door,
right?
So there's a bunch of the doctors in there in the emergency room that have worked in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Combat wounds, which is exactly what those were.
So they were able to describe the wounds to him to a T.
Yeah.
And then that gal talking about watching her daughter bleed out. That was
heart-wrenching.
It's just heart-wrenching. Yeah. Uncle John, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
What would your personal preference be for him to keep going for the presidential football? Or would you like him to run in the Senate?
I was on Beto on fire for Beto when he was running for Senate here in Texas. I love the guy. I love his message. I love his passion. Do I think he's got a chance at the top slot right now? No, I don't think so.
No.
Do I wish he would have run in Texas? Yes. Do I think he ought to come back now? I don't know.
That would be John. It would
be a slap in the face to M.J. Hager that's running.
Yeah,
you know the people that are pouring their heart into this state race right now. It would be kind of a slap in the face to her. You know, which I don't think would be right. What I think is if he does not, if he bows out, I don't think he'll run for Senate. I think he'll bide his time. Maybe even get picked for VP. Who knows? You know, but. I think he'll ride it out. And,
there's
and,
a
you know,
compelling,
he's got a future.
There's a compelling case.
Maybe he'll run for governor.
There's a compelling case for him as a VP running mate.
Yes.
He would
bring a lot to anybody's ticket.
Because
so
Texas,
Beto still has a lot to offer, yeah.
On the other hand, though, I also think from the standpoint of he's young, he's got time.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Robert Francis. You know.
Yeah, but he's got time. It would be fantastic if he ran for governor in 2 years.
Yeah,
and
he's got a lot of recognition.
That gives him he's got the time and he's got the resources, and being a Southern governor, running as a Democrat, has a hell of a lot of cachet to it.
Right now, we're looking at turning Texas blue. So yeah, it's a distinct possibility. Did you hear Briscoe Cain's response to Beto?
Yeah, my AR-15 is waiting for you, Robert Francis.
Yeah, Robert Francis.
Yeah, he needs to visit some very humorless Secret Service and FBI types.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering about that. You know, it's not like we've ever had anybody named Robert Francis. Young independent, a young politician running for major office ever got shot before. You know, and ain't like that happened. I already fed her.
Well,
John, let me just interject here. I was so sorry to hear about your animal friend.
Oh, yeah, Boomer. I don't know what happened, Bob. He was healthy as shit, happy little goat one night. He woke up the next morning, he was dead. And we don't know the cause of death, but it's heartbreaking. We've had him for a long time. You know,
he'd been around a while.
Oh yeah, he'd been around. Well, he's the third goat that Jenny has been the companion.
I understand goats can run into bladder problems. You know, until it's too late, and then even if you. Discover it in time, it costs thousands of dollars, and then they don't make any guarantees.
He was very loved goat. We've had three goats that have passed, one just of natural causes. It was old, the one that got attacked by the dogs, and then Boomer here just the other day. And one of our Blue Dot friends, Carolee Batson, who is, Lord, I'm telling you, when she first sent me a painting of my donkey Jenny, who you just might have heard hollering just a second ago.
I did hear that.
Yeah, she's out there. I just moved her, and now she wants peppermints. I give her a peppermint every once in a while. She loves them. But we've had three companion goats to her. And now we're without another goat. And Mama, in Mama's words, she doesn't want another animal that shits around here. If it shits, she doesn't want it. She's heartbroken. You know, it's the third goat we've had to bury. And, you know, it gets rough on the family. Oh, but anyway, Carolee Batson, she painted the oyster with my donkey on it. Well, right after Boomer passed, she sent me another oyster shell. And inside the oyster shell is painted Boomer. And she is a fantastic artist. Has sent me several pieces of work. So, yeah, the family stepped up. You know, everybody knew Boomer, and everybody knows Jenny.
And you can see those in your videos on YouTube.
Yes, you can. Yeah, my parrot Fred, or you know, we got.
Wait, are you out of the YouTube gulag?
Not yet. Not until October 28th. So we're still in. We're still in YouTube jail. Can't go live. So, you know, we were live last night. Had a fantastic Blue Dot meeting. You know, and I always give a shout out that we miss our YouTube family being live like that, because they added so much to the conversation and everything. And but you know, they're hanging with us. You know, I get messages from them all the time.
He can still upload to YouTube.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah, we do the live show, and it shows up on Facebook and Periscope, and then immediately after the show is over, we immediately load it up to YouTube, so they get it that night. But I miss the participation that we usually have. But we've had some new members come in on Discord and join the conversation online and everything, and so yeah, it went real well last night. I had a good show last night.
Good. Well, I had
coming right along.
By the way, just to sort of provide you everyone a bit of perspective, I just had a note from Ron in the far not yet frozen north. Ron said, "Can I hear some commiseration with all my fellow Canucks who have to go through the interminable 39 days between now and election day? Woe is us. We get to choose between a leader who definitely doesn't measure up to his father as prime minister, a cherubic asshole who would take the gold from your teeth in the funeral home, and a Sikh with all the charisma of a well-intentioned damp rag who couldn't get a room full of speed freaks excited. 39...
Shut up, Ron!
39 long, miserable days of political campaigning by dog sled from one frozen outpost to the next... 39 days.
I feel for him. 39 days.
I'm giving Ron my shut up. I don't get no shut ups anymore. Shut up, Sparky. So I'm giving Ron the shut up. Shut up, Ron.
Shut up, Sparky.
39 days.
Yeah, I told him to suffer quietly, and he said, "Oh, all right." As he sips on an amber beverage and goes,
39 days.
Yeah, say hi to the Reverend Craig, Ron. But Ron did point out Beto running for the Senate in Texas would hurt his case by promising to take away everybody's guns. That'll probably bite him even if he runs for governor. But the thing is, if he runs for governor, there's 2 years for that shit to die down a little bit.
It could wear with time a little bit. It's a soundbite that is going to live for a long, long time now. You know, because that's what they key in on. Oh, look at there. They're coming to get your guns, Bob. I know they are, Bob. Well, you know. But that's the mentality of Briscoe Kane. And I wonder where he got that first name. You got to wonder about his daddy on where he got that first name. You know who Dolph Briscoe is?
Yeah.
Big old governor of Texas, okay.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's who he's named after. So,
well, you know. I prefer to think of him as Crisco Kane. But
there you go.
But
Crisco Kane. But that's the kind, you know.
Yeah, his
voice will resonate down here. Texas will. Oh yeah, they ain't gonna take my gun and all that kind of shit. Yeah,
I have no doubt that Beto was sincere and his expression was heartfelt. But as soon as he said it, I said, "Oh my, he has screwed the pooch."
Yeah, everybody that heard it said the same thing. Oh shit. You know,
I mean,
and I agree with the sentiment. I agree. A buyback. You know, AR-15s, AK-SKs, all that shit. Yes, I'm all for it.
Let's and I understand when they make shit up about a candidate, but when you hand them something on a satin pillow to use against you, it's like, oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a surprise.
I don't think he cares anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, Kane's answer to me, here's the deal. What Mr. Kane is saying, and what any Republican would say, is that if the United States right now were to pass a law banning that weapon and a mandatory buyback by law, hits the Supreme Court, we go through the whole dog and pony show. Everything's done. It's a law. Are you telling me, Mr. Kane, that you're going to shoot the lawman that comes up to your house, the American police officer that would come to your house? That's what the question I have. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what these idiots with these guns say. I'll shoot anybody comes to. Well, you're talking about shooting your fellow Americans, you know.
Right.
So
and again, John, it exists on a continuum. Okay, because it wasn't. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago when when Meghan McCain, the twit, declared that she and the rest of her gun humping fellow Americans were willing to hold our country hostage in the name of their AR-15s. You remember that?
Isn't that sad? Yes, yes. She was in the news for that shit. We'll die with it in our hands. Ain't that wonderful? Piss on it. I don't care. I said it on my show today. If that's your attitude, take it from my cold, dead hands. That's fine with me, buddy. That's it. You know, you draw that line. I'm tired of this God-given right shit down here. It's my God-given right to own a gun. You show me in the freaking Bible where it says God says you can have a gun. It's not, I don't think it's in there.
And it kind of goes to show how bad they are at Bible. Because I'm so old, I remember the run-up to the slaughter of the innocent people of Iraq. When George W. Bush, who was a member of the United Methodist Church, well, the hierarchy, the leadership of the Methodist Church said, George, you're a Methodist. We don't support this unwarranted attack on the innocent people of Iraq. And the Southern Baptist jumped in and said, yeah, but we do, because Peter owned a sword.
That's right. That's right. Strike them down.
Peter owned a sword. But again, it's bad Bible.
Wasn't he supposed to beat that into a plowshare?
No. Actually, the reason we find out that Peter had a sword is because up on the Mount of Olives or the Garden of Gehoots of Whatsamar, when the soldiers came and Judas came and gave Jesus a big old wet sloppy and said, here's your boy.
That's him. Yeah, here he is right here. Come
well,
get his ass.
Peter pulled out his sword and lopped off the ear of a Roman soldier, a legionnaire.
Oh.
And Jesus allegedly picked up the ear and just put it back, and it grew right back. You know, miracle. Happened all the time.
Yeah, nothing to it. Super glue.
But here's the Baptists get, Peter had a sword. What they never mention is what Jesus says to Peter about his fucking sword.
What do you say? Because I'm not well-versed in this, Bob, and I'm glad you are.
He said, put up thy sword unto his place, for he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword.
Yeah, we all know that part. Yeah, yeah. So let them that live by the gun die by the gun.
It's that sword-toting mentality, Bob. Yeah. You know, slice first, ask questions later. You know,
well, they want to open trigger sword at work.
Hello, John.
I got a thought for you.
What's that?
As everybody knows, assault weapons are illegal in California. You don't hear about any game wardens being shot by an AR-15.
Yeah, I haven't seen any in the news, no.
That's because nobody uses them for hunting.
Yeah. If you're using an AR-15 for hunting, I don't want to be anywhere around your ass, and I don't want to eat that deer because it's just full of fucking holes.
Yeah.
You know,
plus, you don't want to run into a game warden with an AR-15 because you're going to fucking jail.
Fuck all this hunting shit, because get that off the table, because it's bullshit. They don't use it for hunting. They don't use it for a damn thing except looking like Rambo and trying to get their pecker hard. That's it. You know, you can buy that same caliber weapon in a Remington 800 or, you know, it's a bolt action. Shit, it's a perfect deer rifle, buddy. That's not what they want, though. They want that AR, that SK, that AK. That's the weapon, baby. That's not a gun. That's a weapon. And they see it in the movies. I want the bandolier. I want the flak jacket. I want to get me a big K-bar knife. You know, that's the kind of shit.
I want to look like a soldier.
Yeah, that's exactly
but
right.
But I damn sure don't want to a soldier.
No, no.
Because somebody might shoot back at my ass.
Yep, that's about right. That's it. But, you know, we have a country that is ate up with that. That's the problem. The problem isn't necessarily a gun. The problem is the mentality that we have in this country that worships that gun.
You know, well, yeah, opens the door to a further complication. And that is this.
What?
And I do not mean by saying this to in any wise diminish the horrors of what happened in El Paso, Dayton, Sandy Hook, Orlando.
There's a long list.
It's a long list. But taken all together, the firearms deaths in this country, and this is not to say I don't support getting the hell rid of AR-15s and AK-47s and the like, but the reality is the vast majority of illegal gun deaths in this country aren't caused by those weapons. They are caused by handguns.
That's right. Pistols, baby.
And pistols.
And it happens every day.
Pistols, every day. An AR-15 is orders of magnitude more dangerous and deadly than a pistol. But what the two have in common is that unlike, say, a 270, a bolt-action 270, or a bolt-action 30-06,
right,
or a bolt-action 380, any of that stuff, and you know, a 7mm mag, 300 mag, what have you, pistols and assault rifles have a singular purpose. And that is to kill other human beings.
That's it.
I mean, I do. I once knew a guy who got his jollies going out west with a 350, a long barrel 357 mag with a scope on it. No shit. And he went out west cougar hunting with it. Now, at that point in time, that's just, you know, that's just a kink, okay? That's just kinky.
What state was he going to?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Probably Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, somewhere like that.
I had a brother-in-law that hunted with Thompson Contender.
A fortune for a permit to shoot a cougar in those states.
He could pay for two tags and never count the cost. He had more dollars than cents. The point that I'm making is that there just ain't a shitload of people out there hunting with pistols.
No.
Because they are not effective. They are not effective hunting weapons. I mean, you can take a really well made 30-06, 270, whatever, and you can drive and that's a decent sized bullet, you know, 30-06.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's good and you got the barrel is mounted well, you know, like the glass bead bedding. You can drive nails with that son of a bitch at 300 yards.
Yeah, but you can't spray a whole crowd of people with it, Bob.
Right. Right, because you know, at most, you got one in the chamber and three in the little clip.
Yeah.
And so you know that there is a larger discussion to be had, but we got to start somewhere, and I think that was an important part of the discussion last night, is that you know what, we can have a gun buyback. We really can. We can, and you know what?
Only if we win, Bob.
Well, yeah,
we can
right.
have a buyback if we win the House. I mean, the White House and the Senate,
and keep
That's
the House.
The only way.
Yeah,
and keep the House.
And then we're going to have to tell and do it with real relish, real zest, real aplomb, panache, even. Look at Massacre Mitch, and say, Mitch, sit down, and shut right the fuck up. We do not care to hear from you for the rest of your miserable, misbegotten, unnaturally born life.
Amen, brother, because right now as it stands, don't look for anything to come to the floor of the Senate. It's not going to happen. Mitch is not going to bring squat.
No.
So,
absolutely
we're going to talk about this gun issue until we get somebody in there to resolve it. And the only way that is going to be done is for you to go out and vote Democratic. Vote blue, no matter who. I don't give a shit which one of those people up on that stage last night wins. Whoever it is, if you want to save this country, vote for their ass, because that's what it's going to take.
But what concerns me, Uncle John, the one they're cramming down our throats the hardest is probably has the least chance of beating Trump.
Who's that, Biden?
Yeah.
Well, and, Biden took they're number one right now. He's still in the lead spot.
I wanted to ask the Horn family and Bob and Uncle John and everybody, do you think we're going to get stuck with Uncle Joe?
Are we going to get stuck?
I don't know, but it's become an internet sensation to take Joe down for something. His teeth falling out. Calling Bernie the president.
Yeah, he did have an eyeball kerfluffle too, but it's benign. It's neither here nor there.
Well, if you try to peg him for his age, he'll be 77, and Bernie's 78. Donnie, he's just fucking evil. So who gives a shit how old he is?
Yeah, well, he's a kid at 73.
73? Is that what he is? 73 years of shit piled up.
Oh, he has the mind of a kid.
But talking about sit and spin record players is not helping his cause.
No. Last night did not help him a lot. He still.
No, that's why I said what I said. What he did last night with that black people don't know how to be parents bullshit. The bullshit of the Dean scream was enough to run Howard Dean out of the race years and years ago.
Right.
But this isn't. Have we entered a time when anybody can say anything and they just stay in the race? Is that the real meaning of the Trump effect?
Exhibit A is Trump. I mean, he said all kinds of crazy shit and stayed in the race and fucking got elected.
That's true.
Well, I mean,
my issue with Biden.
Thanks for that helpful reminder.
Biden, to my mind, is out of sync.
Can you hear me,
step.
You want to see an angry?
Hello, what?
Yeah,
you want to see an angry black woman? I don't know if Tracy saw it, but yeah. Nina Turner talking to Cenk Uygur about Biden last night.
Well, no, I didn't get to see that, but when I was listening to him calling, saying black people, I screamed, and I'm like, motherfucker, what? I just, the whole time, the fact that black people are still supporting his ass, and I'm just like, what the entire fuck is going on with these people that are still saying that Joe Biden, come on, dude, seriously. He is so, what decade is this motherfucker in? He said, like you said, Bob, that black people don't know how to raise our children. I think I did an okay job with raising my child. And he was not a latchkey's kid or anything like that. And my mom raised me pretty good.
But it's not just that, Tracy. Remember, black mothers aren't speaking to their children.
Yeah, no, that part too. And my mother spoke to me. I spoke to Alex, and there was five of us. So I'm pretty sure my mother spoke to all five of us.
Anyway, my point is if the southern states, like Bob's saying, South Carolina, give it to Biden, it's because somebody wasn't out there beating the bushes like Killer Mike or Nina Turner for Bernie.
Well, see, that's the thing. In 16, Bernie, I don't know, maybe he's learned something in the intervening years, but Bernie ran, and this isn't me being mean. I mean, Bernie was strong last night. So was Elizabeth Warren. So were a couple of others. But Bernie ran an abysmal operation in South Carolina. And
oh, it's horrible.
And could not put a dent in Hillary's support. And what I'm trying, and as a white guy who probably has no business even asking this question, I'll echo what Tracy just said. What the fuck are they thinking? I mean, and you can ask anybody, and they'll tell you that that base of support. You know, the Democratic Party is in South Carolina, the Democratic Party is probably majority-minority, okay, for one. So that means that African-Americans in South Carolina's Democratic Party pretty much control which way the party goes. And I got no beef with that. But I guess it's all the elderly voters in the African American church communities that are sitting there going, Biden's our guy because Barack Obama because Barack Obama chose him for vice president. I don't know. I honestly, earnestly, and genuinely don't know. But when I came across that 2007 quote, then all of a sudden, it seemed to me like it was a stroke of genius on Obama's part to have chosen Joe Biden. Because, you know, here's the young, hip, black guy going to run for president and try to, you know, break through the most hateful of ceilings in American politics, and that is to be a black man and become president. He had to have a running mate who could placate white fear. And with Joe Biden out there running around saying that Iowa has better educational outcomes than D.C. because Iowa doesn't have that many black people?
Okay.
Christ on a crutch!
But it
makes a certain amount of sense within the political calculus of the choices that Barack Obama had before him in 2007, or in 2008, rather. You see what I'm saying, Tracy?
Yeah.
A lot of things Barack Obama was no dummy.
No, and so what he got was, and what I came away from last night with was that Joe Biden is out there being a kinder, gentler George Wallace. He's not the George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door in 1960. He's the George Wallace who had his foot at the cross moment in the mid to late 70s and went on an apology tour all over Alabama. And when George Wallace died, there were black folks all over Alabama who were crying.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And Tracy, I know you're not the chief representative of black
folks.
Oh,
yes, she is.
That's her, America.
Yes, I am. Aren't you?
Okay.
Good. Fat and lesbian. Awesome.
All right, I got a serious question. pardon me. When it comes right down to it, with Biden,
you can only wear one hat today.
Okay, then I choose black people. All right, go ahead.
All right. When it comes down to Biden, it comes down to a matter of perception. And I have to wonder, do black folks, as a general rule, Democrats, have a perception of Biden akin to the perception they had of Hillary being not a savior, but a champion?
Not even so much that, Scott. I think it files more likely under the devil we know.
Well, that should be scary then.
I mean, isn't that a thing, Tracy?
The devil we know, yeah. It's just, we are at the point now where, fuck. I mean, because it's the older black people. And so because, like, I have a millennial, and my son is a millennial, but he's a very well informed millennial, and he could give a fuck about Joe Biden. He's more, if it came down right now to who he would vote for, he would definitely vote for Elizabeth Warren at this point.
I got one just like it, Tracy, and he'd do the same thing.
You know, he's like, he feels that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are out of touch, two old white, out of touch white men.
I was worried about Bernie last night. I was wondering, I mean, you know, because we're all used to how Bernie presents, okay?
Right.
But he almost had no voice, and I'm sitting there wondering, and I'm sorry, you do. At 76, at 78, you know, one case of pneumonia, one broken hip, game over.
One broken hip, you out. You know, and I don't want to sound ageist or anything like that, but look, I mean, and Elizabeth Warren is no spring chicken either, but she's in better shape than those two. You know, she doesn't come across as a doddering old fool.
You know what I want? I'm on the fence here for Elizabeth Warren. You know, I don't know if it's the age thing that's bothering me. What I want right now is a John Kennedy, somebody who is going to step up and push the program forward. And you know, that to me is coming from Elizabeth Warren, you know, Pete Buttigieg, even Yang, you know, has that same direction. Of moving it towards benefiting society instead of just the freaking rich. And it's going to take some bold action to do that. And
Bernie doesn't need me to defend him, okay?
No.
But I'm going to anyway,
all
right? And granted, I'm not a person of color, okay? So there's that. But this is not my first rodeo, okay? And I've listened and followed Bernie long enough to know that his message has been consistent year in and year out. And I'm just frustrated that voters in some parts of the country, and I mean Democratic voters in some parts of the country during the primary season, are going to get tricked just as they got tricked in 2016. They're not going to see, and it especially disturbs me that a lot of black church people buy into anything that Biden might have to say, because shouldn't church people of all people have discernment of the spirits or at least the motives?
Well, hold up. Wait, stop. Pump your brakes on that one. It has nothing to do with discernment of the spirit. It's just, you know, now because I'm going to put on my black church lady hat now.
Uh-oh.
No.
I like that hat, Tracy. I love that hat.
Does it have a feather?
No, I don't know. No, because that's hypoallergenic and all that shit. No.
Oh, no. Tracy's church hat is better. She's got like a fruit of the loom.
She doesn't need any feathers. Okay.
Arrangement
with
a little bird.
Because, see, here's the scary part about the black church lady hat. Because, see, now we have, because it's getting scary with the black church lady, because we still have some strong Baptist church ladies, but now we're getting some sway with some black evangelicals who are voting for Trump. And that's scary to me. Because of the pro-life, anti-choice shit. And with the Jesse Lee Peterson crowd, we actually have black people who are, you know, voting for Trump. And
Tracy, I hear what you're saying every morning on Washington Journal. Mm-hmm. Every morning, you know.
And so, that discernment is out the door, Scott. And the black church is not what it used to be. And that's the sad part. So, and we still have these older black people at the church that are still going to vote for the same people who voted for, you know, for Hillary. And so they're going to vote for Biden because Obama.
And South Carolina is being set up to be Biden's salvation. He's got to at least come away with one out of four. South Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, Nevada. He's got to at least get South Carolina, and he's got to win big. Now here's a question though, Tracy. This is something I got to thinking about, because when I was thinking in terms of, you know, how do you, you know, like I said, Bernie couldn't get it done in South Carolina in 16. He couldn't crack that solidarity. So I'm thinking, okay, I saw an announcement where Kamala Harris is going to have a 19-member team that's all women on the ground in South Carolina. Okay. But here's my question. Because the only two people left who can challenge for the so-called black vote, from the standpoint of their blackness, is Kamala Harris and Cory Booker.
Booker doesn't have a chance.
Well, here's the question. Aren't those crotchety old people in the pews in the AMEs in South Carolina likely to be harder on a black candidate than they would be on an old white guy that they can at least identify with generationally?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to be harder on Kamala. They're going to be exceptionally hard on Cory because he's not Barack. Kamala might get a pass, but like I said, they're identifying more. I'm not understanding how they're identifying more with Joe Biden than with, you know, how Barack got passed, I guess because Barack was a man and Hillary didn't have a chance because Barack was a young brother. But, and he just, maybe because he was a young black man and he, you know, and...
Well, he was a hell of a lot more inspiring.
Yeah, and this is why I didn't understand why Hillary even ran. You got beat by a young black man. And you got your ass handed to you by a black man, and you ran again, and you still almost got your ass handed to you by an old Jewish man. So it's like, dude, seriously, sit down somewhere. But here it is. So now you got an old white man, and like you said, these old people are identifying with, because like you said, it's a generational thing at this point. I don't get it. I just don't get why these people identify so much more with Joe Biden. But, you know.
Well, maybe discernment was the wrong attribute to ask about. Common sense should.
So common.
Well, you're shooting me down everything I say there, Tracy. I'm gonna snatch
Gary,
your hat.
Turn
baby.
Off your video.
Who has on video?
Not me. I know better.
Gary Taylor, shut off your video.
There we go. Sometimes, thank you. You know, it defaults to that sometimes, and it just makes it makes me crazy. And by the way, we're at the top of the second hour, so let me just put this out here so folks will know where we are. Thanks going out to Anatole. Thank you, Anatole, very kindly. We got $180 to go on the challenge from the sorority of Leans.
Before I forget, Bob, I have I want to throw in, as of today, I am down 33.4 pounds. And so that's, I'm a third of a way away from the 100 pounds that I'm trying to lose. So I want to do a 33 and a third pound challenge, 33 and a third dollars. Now, would that really fuck up with the math?
Well, I mean, anything.
$33 and 33 cents.
Anything that has to do with me doing deciphering fucks up the math, Tracy. That's not on you. That's on me. But so, if two people responded to your $33 and 33 cents, then that would finish off. That would finish off Darlene's challenge and get us started on Charlene's. So
okay, that part.
Okay, so we need Tracy's going to sit back for a minute and see if two people will come in and help celebrate Tracy busting her ass.
There you go. And it doesn't have to be just two.
And sticking,
no, 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 not
and,
just two, Bob. We could do better. We could do better.
Bob, call it Tracy's, in honor of Biden's phonograph, Tracy's 33 and a third.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
Put the, that may be the LP on, baby.
That may be the best cowbell you've ever earned. It's the Joe Biden, it's Tracy's Joe Biden 33 and a third challenge.
The LP. The vinyl version, baby.
And to answer it, you have to come up with $78.
That's not a big amount there, baby. I know the Horn family's got that in them. You know, I always like to take this opportunity when Bob does this, you know, because I like to chime in because it's hard, you know, on your own show especially, to ask for that donation to keep his voice going. But I can't, you know, emphasize it enough how important his voice is and the progressive voice from areas that you don't normally find one. And that perspective from those areas, it is vitally important to keep that on the air. So I am always encouraging all my Blue Dot family and the Horn family to pay into this family to help Bob pay the bills.
Thank
keep
you,
the lights
John.
On, keep the air.
Because it's important. As quick as this program ends, if we can get all this taken care of, as quick as this program ends, my next call, it's actually going to happen on the computer, is to keep the damned internet on here.
There you go, baby. I'm very well familiar with that idea, Bob. Without that, you got no show. You got to keep the bills paid or it doesn't happen. And you only do that. Bob does this all the time. This is his job. And it's not an easy one, I guarantee it, to have to face this shit every day. But Bob does it in an intelligent and an entertaining way. And you're not going to find a better source of entertainment for your dollar than right here. So I encourage you to lend a helping hand to keep that voice up in the air. Yeah. It's the least we can do. Look at what you're getting, too. No shit. It's a hell of a deal, Pop.
I like to think so.
You're cheap. You know.
That doesn't sound nearly as nasty as when Agnes tells me I'm cheap. But
that's it.
Because it's like I said, you're a cheap date. The fact it's a Friday night and I'm stalling going home because once I go home, I got to deal with what I have to cook or what we're going to have for dinner. And it's Friday night, so Friday night takeout. And takeout in L.A. is not cheap. So,
no.
You know, so I, you know, Jan's like, what are we doing for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. Fuck.
If we were to carry your ass.
These prices, I'm going to take my ass out the door and go home.
It would cost us five times than it is just to sit at home and have a meaningful conversation on the Horn, you know. But this program is such a gift. Really.
Well, you're not only being asked to donate to a show that's worthwhile. You're donating to a show that your voice could be heard. You could go on to Bob's website there at horn.com and click on the link that says join the conversation. And, baby, you're right here. You're right here with the rest of us. So it's not just a spectator sport, baby. You could participate in this conversation and have your voice heard, too. And not too many places you can do that, so.
I don't know of any other radio program that offers that service.
Yeah, we will listen to your opinion. We may not agree with it. We may call you, you know, right there. You shit.
No, that's the beauty.
I know an Indian internet voice video well. Show does that with a whole bunch of people.
There you go.
I want to jump in here for a minute.
Thank you, Roger. I just saw that land.
No, just hang on, Bob, just a second.
All right.
I want to make your cipher an easy. Okay.
Okay.
So I came up with the 34 cents. So the next person can put in the 33 cents, and it comes out to the even dollar.
You got him covered.
God bless you, Roger.
Ain't that, well, does it?
Well, now, there was a little bit in front of the 34 cents, but
yes.
I just wanted to say that the reason for the 34 cents and not the 33 cents was to try and make your ciphering a little easier.
Yeah, you have no idea how much I appreciate it.
Got his socks off down there counting his toes.
Oh, no, no. I spent too many years in high school.
John, it's naked radio, okay? I mean, so I got 10.5. I got 10.5 more to work with.
Well, it's not like Bob sitting around eating gros poupon at the jacuzzi, you know. He
no, but I did just ruin dinner in the Mountain Time Zone. I really, really did. I told you I had plans. Yeah, you know, I got a note here from Ron in the far soon to be frozen north. And he says, I'm 71 and I don't have the now this is a guy who has no problem walking around 18 holes of golf, okay? Which is I know people, it's a good walk, spoiled, all of that shit. Golf can wear your happy ass out, especially if you swing the clubs as many times as I do.
It can piss you off too.
Well, let's don't even go there. But Ron has no problem getting around a track. I wouldn't be surprised to find out Ron can do 36 holes in a day and not break a sweat. But nonetheless, Ron says, I'm 71, and I don't have the energy to even think about doing the Oval Office job. I barely have enough energy to hold off the NSA when they try to play in my sandbox. Oh, shit, I shouldn't have said the N-word, NSA. But, yeah. The framers never imagined that this was an old man's game. Yes, Parky.
You're assuming he doesn't have a golf cart.
I played with him.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
You wish you had a golf cart.
We had a golf cart that day, but that was for my ass.
Well, the only time I ever went to a golf course with a bunch of guys was to drive the golf cart and mind the beer.
Yeah, I bet you minded it real good, didn't you?
I bet you kept a close eye on that shit.
Yeah. every
the 9-hole golf course in Grass Valley, California.
You know, you'll get a kick out of this, Sparky. When Boss Man Wayne was in the Air Force, one of his jobs was being the greenskeeper on an on-base golf course.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Some guys got the perfect duty, didn't they?
Well, but he also got to work on B-52s, so, you know.
Well, it's a side job. Yeah.
Well, it probably was. You know, the bird colonel was a hell of a lot more concerned with the condition of the fucking putting greens than he was with, you know, making
Don't
sure
worry, the birds will fly,
save.
Baby. The birds will fly.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And speaking of which, did you see the story about the study out of from the Air Force? Nitwit Nero wants to, you know, pillage the Pentagon to build his stupid goddamn wall. Well, they're talking about having to shut down an entire Air Force base in Alaska. Because
we need Alaska base. What the hell we need that for?
Which one to shut down?
It's not Elmendorf.
Is it Burpelson?
No, it's not Burpelson either. Quit trying.
That's a fantasy base.
I'd say that's a Navy base.
No, it is. Let me find it here.
There ain't nothing on ADAC anymore.
There ain't. Third place that wins, baby. They shut it down when I left.
During the war.
Here it is. Air Force fears it could be forced to evacuate an entire base after Trump cuts funds to pay for his wall. It's an NBC News report. Boiler replacement at Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska. Okay. E-I-E-L-S-E-N. E-I-E-L-S-E-N Air Force Base. The whole thing, the power, everything is run by a giant boiler. And the boiler is...
Oh, and the boiler, yep.
And the boiler is in imminent danger of straight-up failure.
I didn't remember the base, but I had the boiler thing written down. Yep.
The boiler goes, the whole base goes, because every bit of electric power and steam heat comes from that one boiler.
Yeah.
And if it goes down, they have to evacuate the whole base. And then when they come back, they have to spend umpty bajillion dollars rehabbing it from all the damage that was done when there was no electricity.
You mean that boiler on the roof, right?
Because wall. That's it. Because of a wall.
Hey guys, this is...
I don't know. The only one I ever was at Elmendorf.
I was at Elmendorf for a while. But Sparky, you'll appreciate this comment. As a Navy Airedale, baby... As a guy that spent all my time in Navy aviation.
We flew all around the world.
We did, too. We was right behind you. We followed you. Here's what the Navy thought about the Air Force. It seemed to me always that the Navy built an airfield and then found a place for a base. It seems to me that the Air Force seems like they build a base and then find a place for an airport, you know, because all the facilities at an Air Force base I ever went to were a whole lot better than the Navy base I just left.
Yeah, well, that used to be true, John, but...
John, you know, we never went anywhere without flush toilets.
I mean, to tell you, y'all didn't go nowhere without everything. You had a B-52, hell, we brought our shit in the bomb bay, but we used it in a P-3, a lot smaller bomb bay. Them B-52s had a hell of a bomb bay.
But look at what happened with the spring flooding in Offutt in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It stopped being an Air Force base. Because
it's a big on the government's list, on the Defense Department's list, is a problem.
Yeah, because the Air Force
used to be the head of Strategic Air Command.
Yeah, right. But the Air Force doesn't have any doesn't have any float plane bombers. And the entire goddamn runway was underwater.
Start working on them damn things pretty quick.
Jesus,
a lot of airports underwater.
Office underground anyway, you know, so if it floods, it really floods.
You know what they're doing with them things, right? Them old missile silos. They're turning them into luxury condos, underground bunker luxury condos. You could buy one, a few million dollars, you know, laying around.
Oh, my God. Hey,
so
Felicity Huffman's going to spend 14 days in jail, y'all.
Yeah.
No way. It?
Yeah,
One from Desperate Housewives.
The other 15 one.
15 days. So if she got 14 days for $15,000, how long do you think Aunt Becky? 500,000.
Oh yeah, yeah. Aunt Becky might have a little problem there because Aunt Becky's bucking the system. It's one thing, you know. At least I'll give this woman credit. That she pleaded guilty, apologized to the court, she took responsibility for it and everything. So I'm going to give her a big plus for that. Do I think it's a good? No, it stinks because it's what we all know happens all the time anyway.
I was going to say there's a two-tiered system of justice, but that's a bullshit line. We have a system of justice and a system of mercy and a system of outrage. It's three-tiered. It's justice, injustice, and mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because see,
and most of us fall under the injustice part.
Because let's see what happened to Tracy. Tracy was taking care of her child. Tracy turned in all her paperwork showing that she worked. Tracy got 5 years of probation. Tracy did everything she was supposed to do for 5 years. Tracy's judge gave her another 5 years of probation. Tracy still got 13 days in jail after doing 5 years probation, wound up doing 10 years of probation. I mean, got another 5 years, was on probation for 10 years. Let's see.
What were the charges?
Welfare fraud. Oh, yeah. And by the way, how much did Tracy say? Well, how much did they say Tracy took? $5,000?
No.
All my paperwork. All of my paperwork showing that I worked. I worked, yes, and I turned in all my paperwork. But they said that, at one point they said, it was overpayment. So, and I was old, and I was paying it back. But they said that I intended on defrauding the government.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
So and then there's the lady in D.C.
Oh, that pisses me off, man.
Who registered her kid in the wrong school district and got 5 years.
That part. So just the fact is, so Felicity Huffman, I don't give a, so 15, she intended, it was intentional what she did.
Oh,
so
yes.
She only gets 14 days in jail. She gets 1 year of probation and a $30,000 fine. Big deal. Big fucking deal.
Yeah, $30,000, man. That's couch money for her.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Nothing.
That's change in the couch for her. That's pin money. That's pin money. But I was in jail for 13 days away from my child. Okay?
And you didn't really do anything wrong.
No, I did not. But I was a poor black woman I had a public pretender. I didn't have high prices.
Well, three strikes against you right there. Poor black woman.
as a poor black woman.
Yep, strike three right there. You're in there.
So it's like, so I didn't have a high price attorney to say, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Let's get this, you know, let's get rid of this and be done with this. So like you said, I didn't have mercy. It was punitive and what the fuck.
Yeah, well, so I didn't mean my comment to lighten that, Tracy.
No,
I was a poor white kid, but I still did a year and a half. You know,
if anybody's ever been to jail, it's not
no mercy. Yeah, it's not a good place for anybody to be.
That's why when people talk about this, when everybody's like, "Why don't you watch Orange Is the New Black?" I'm like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, they don't have a clue. You know, they
don't have a clue.
Yeah, there's some movies you don't want to watch because you already lived that shit.
I lived the shit. No, I'm good. I don't understand that. And because I mean, you people, you got new people. I'm sorry. You guys, I share my
story. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm on your side, Tracy. Come on,
I share my story with you, but you guys, I share my story with, but the majority of people in my life, most of the people in my life do not know my story because I trust you guys with my story. The majority of the people in my life, they don't know about what I've gone through and about me being in jail and stuff like that because I trust you guys. And you motherfuckers don't live anywhere near me, so whatever.
Yes, what the fuck?
we're just the crazy ones.
We're not going to point you out down the street. No, I fully understand. You know, most my kids, you know, my first child, I was 38 years old. Shit, you know, I was an old daddy. And, you know, we never spoke about dad's indiscretions when I was young. It was something that I kept hid from them for years until they're recently here and I'm on the air and I'm talking. And, you know, when you're on the air doing what Bob does, your shit's out there in front of everybody. So, yeah, you have to fess up to that shit. People make mistakes, and sometimes they're rough lessons to learn. You know.
But when you see shit like this, and you're like, "Mother, when she says, "I did it to give my child a fair shot," bitch, what?
No. There was no fair shot to that shit. No,
no, bitch. No,
the only thing I'm saying is I give her
credit. The opportunity from another child who worked hard to get into college. So you stole that spot from somebody another child who deserved it. That part.
Yeah.
Right. Just because you have affluence, you know, that's bullshit.
That's how we ended up with Doc.
Your child should have went to a Cal State or even better, a JC, so they could go to a 4-year. How about that?
Yeah, and meanwhile, Aunt Becky's daughters were taking Instagram influencer pictures.
There you go.
Inside their goddamn dorm at USC.
Yeah. Who didn't even want to fucking go to school? Who didn't even want to go to college?
And voicing that opinion. I was just going to go for the party. Fuck
and
you.
And they go to football games.
Yeah, see, this woman, she's going up pleading not guilty. She's just turned the whole world on herself, wanting to, you go to jail. We don't give a shit. You look pretty on TV. Fine. Go look pretty in prison. You know, because
there's people there that'll appreciate it.
That's right. That's right. They'll help you right along.
They're going to be real happy to see you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to be pleasantly happy. Oh, they even have.
Because she's a handsome woman.
Yeah. And has money.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. She's going to have plenty. Look, she's going to have plenty of money on her books.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
shit. Know.
But, you know, I the whole situation there, we see it in educational systems now, as pointed out in this case. We see it in the legal system all the time. You know, we saw it in the Epstein case when he got his first deal down there in Florida. If you got money, baby, well,
you end up in a
if you got money with
couches and big screen TVs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If you're you and me, baby, we're in what we call jail, and that's what I had to correct my wife because they said, "Ooh, she's going 13 days to prison." No, she's not. Bullshit. She's going to 13
she's
days.
She's going to Club Med.
Between jail and prison, there's a big fucking difference there. So she's got 13 days in jail. She'll do it standing on her head, come out all proud of how she admitted it to it.
Toughed it out. That TV and the air conditioning.
She's got to get her job back. You know, she's got to be
Martha
back
Stewart did harder time down in Alderson, West Virginia by a long damn shot. Well, you know, it's kind of like the old beer slogan used to be. What was it? If you've got the time, we've got the beer.
We got the beer.
Well, if you've got the money... You don't do the time.
Well, it's that old thing from George Orwell's book, Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. I mean, that's the age-old story. Speaking of age-old stories, let me slip this in.
Before you slip anything in, I got to share this because...
I didn't Bob mean Dino it the way it sounds.
Yeah, and you, and
just a tip. That's what he said. That's what
Tracy. Surprise, 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 Luann. That ain't your belly button.
Go, Bob.
Yeah. So last week, Rico and DeBerg put a challenge on the table, and it was the Go Stillers Destroy the Pats challenge. And well, a week later, we all know that didn't work out so well. So Rico writes again, subject line, fuck the Stillers. No, seriously, not ready to give up on my team after one miserable game. It's a long, slow haul. Such is life. Anyway, no dumbass challenge. I'm just going to chip in $30 for the cause tonight. I hope it helps, Brother Bob. Rico and DeBerg, it helps more than you know. So we're making... Thank you, Rico, so much. We're making real progress here. Let's see here.
Small chips at the stone. It helps.
Ed, you're absolutely right. It does.
Where else are you going to find the information that you just listened to just moments ago? Where else are you going to find that on the radio tonight?
So are
we doing sports, Bob?
Not yet. So Tracy's challenge has been met. And so we have wiped out Darlene's challenge, and we are started courtesy of Rico and Roger and an anonymous person who wishes to remain nameless. We are roughly $50 away from finishing Charlene's challenge and being done for the week. It will be, in fact, another patented Horn Family Community Congregation, community-made miracle.
It could be a miracle, Bob.
It could be a miracle, now, John Bredebo.
We want a miracle on tonight's show. The power is reaching out to your heart right now.
Glory.
We can feel it. We all feel it. It's a calling to call in and give that praise be it to, what's the dollar amount?
$50.
Well, let's get $50 going in. That's only 50 people at a dollar a piece, you know, or y'all start doing a cypher and narrowing it down. But it's something the family could do, baby.
Yeah, but if I have
Bob scared the shit out of me when he started talking that there's going to be no more program at midnight tonight.
Well, I mean, it
happened to me. It happened to me. You lose the internet, you lose everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything's down.
And the problem here is that the bill is higher than it ought to be. I'll freely confess
I
that.
I can relate.
Because all I can get on one connection is 10 down and 1 up.
So you're still with Frontier.
Oh, yeah. And so
That's about what I'm getting, Bob. I get about 8 up and maybe 3. No, I've got it wrong. 8 down, 3 up is my
So match. if I want to have an unimpeded stream, it's got to have a connection. There's another connection to keep Skype up, and a third connection so that I can run the production machine. It's ridiculous. And again,
it is.
Again, about 100 yards from me is fiber optic that would give me 30 down and 8 up. And they will not run that 150 yards of fiber.
There's peckerheads, man.
Ain't that sad?
Hey, Bob.
Got an extension cord, Bob?
Bob, I sent you an item the other day. SpaceX, I think it was, in late 2019 or early, mid-2020, will have a whole bunch of teeny tiny satellites to bring broadband to rural areas. So, supposedly it's going to be cheap, or at least reasonable. So hopefully
what always winds up happening, you know, the vast majority of people out there don't need shit for upside. because they're not uploading much, you know, but we actually need an upside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so without fail, I mean, you never get much in the way of up.
I can't take the chance, Bob. I have to have enough bandwidth because, you know, we do video, so it's audio, yeah. Video, all thing goes up. And, you know, of course, the company wants more money for that. And, of course, yeah. They do. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place. It becomes a daily job to do this, you know, and me and you share that. It's a chore. You got to get up and do your filthy little habit every morning to be able to get that in your head. And look at everything to be able to have an intelligent conversation about it on the air, and along with the co-hosts that we have here with Steve and Scott and everybody that comes by to visit. And but you know, you not only have that insight into the news, you're gonna get stories about shit. You're gonna hear Tracy tell her story. We're gonna talk about Shiny Heine or some disgusting thing that nobody should ever talk about on the radio.
I got one.
Well, where else are you going to find that shit? Nowhere. But here, baby.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
This is Gary from Illinois.
Hey, yes, Gary.
Hey, I just moved back from the Dallas area.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for visiting. Have you got Fios in your area?
Huh? No, he doesn't.
Have you got Fios in your area?
He doesn't. I don't think John's got Fios way down there where he is.
Okay, Fios, they come out with is same speed upload download. I had 75 up.
Oh, no, I've never heard of it.
John is way out in the country.
Yeah, I'm out in the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got nothing out here. We have one broadband company that I have. My house is on stilts, so it's like I'm on the second story. There's a 30-foot pole on top of my house, and I have trouble getting the signal sometimes, but it's the only option I have besides going back to satellite, and I can't do that because of the show and the upload. You know, once you use a certain budget, they cut you back.
Right?
Yeah, so that's not an option. So
yeah, I know it's probably the same.
What the service they raise, and when the cost goes up, you have no option. So that's how Bob has to come on here and ask for those donations, and it's humbling to do that. That's how come I don't mind doing it here. Now, I don't like doing it on my show, and I'm sure Bob doesn't like doing it. But it's important.
Bob a lot, so.
Yeah, it's important that you know that.
And, you know, I know where you are, John, and where I am here. You hear a lot of talk about, oh, we're going to do something about rural broadband.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it always winds up going in the wrong people's pockets.
Yeah, there's
and not unlike the way medicine is handled in virtually every developed country on the planet versus the way it's handled here.
It's
you can get El Cheapo lightning fast broadband in all of these countries in Europe and Asia and every fucking where else.
Yeah, broadband's cheap, really.
And in this country.
Blasphemy.
You know, it is just, you know,
it's against the almighty dollar.
Big bucks for tiny.
It's like everything in this. I say it all the time about our health care. We don't have health care. We have profit care.
We have wealth care.
We have regulations that say not to do that.
We're so close to being called a fascist nation because, and remind, that's when corporations rule the country. Corporations and churches, how far away from that? Because that's what's happening now. If we fess up to it, that's who's paying our congressmen and senators to vote they were. If it weren't for that, we would have gun legislation because all the polls say, well, 90% of the public, you know, we get them polls. Well, there's what the public wants, but we don't get
John,
that.
John, here's the problem. Imagine yourself in a big boardroom and Ned Beatty is at one end of the table and Howard Beale is at the other end. You have meddled with the prime forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and you will atone.
Will you?
You know?
Well,
yeah, I mean, and like, I've got a note here from Randy in PA. He says, Verizon Fios runs straight down the highway 100 yards from here to all the businesses, and I can't get it at any price.
Yeah. Well, you're not a business, you know. Come on, business.
And see, that's what happened when I asked about the fiber. They said, well, you know, there's businesses up the road, rafting, tourism industry, and they paid to have those lines put in. No, they didn't.
No,
they didn't. The government
paid
to put
in. And I get the same thing.
You know, that was a goddamn government grant.
You need more brand new.
I worked for Verizon for 30 years. Sorry, guys.
No.
That's okay.
30 years.
I didn't start out with Verizon. With my directors that ended up there.
Two quick things for you and the Horn family, all right? And this is good news. Now, right now, I can't send you a plug nickel in terms of supporting the Horn. However, I fell right into the Andy Yang trap, and I entered his contest for $12,000 in Freedom Duckets. So you can count
you
on
better
the taste.
Read your essay.
I didn't know there was a contest. I want to join.
Yeah, if you act right now, you know.
Read your essay.
So if that comes through before the Megabucks or the Powerball does, you've got that new studio. But
we're
here's
all wishing
the other
for you,
thing.
Scott.
Well, let's hear your essay. Let's hear your spiel. How'd you
sell yourself,
Scott?
No, I'm not going to. I'm waiting for the official announcement. And I'm surprised that Steve hasn't asked me. I've got one, count them, one TV viewing tip.
Yeah, I've been waiting. I just didn't want to step on over
it. Well, and Bob, I know that you were not totally enchanted by Ken Burns' Vietnam War docuseries. However, I think you will like his upcoming new.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch the country music one. Yeah,
country music. I've been waiting for that.
They'll take away my hillbilly card if I don't.
When does that
premiere? And we're watching, Bob. We're watching
Sunday night PBS. And it's 8 hours.
I'd like to turn back to the candle to Muscle Shoals.
I'm
sorry. What?
Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, totally different genre, but. That's a wonderful documentary, but 16 hours. I mean,
I was
that's a commitment.
About 20 years ago, with his multi-part series on jazz, I was quite impressed with that. If he does half as good a job with country music, it's another good show from Ken Burns, I think.
And its take on Prohibition was watchable as well.
I'll drink to that.
I'd like to jump back to the internet thing here for just a second.
Sure.
Okay. I've got a friend that lives on the Salmon River, which is a river hardly anybody's heard of in California. It's one of the last. Yeah, you have, Sparky. You know where it is. You've probably even been to Cecilville, too. Anyhow, he lives on the Salmon River. Yeah, well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. Anyhow, he lives on the Salmon River. And there was a grant that came in, and they pushed fiber optic all the way from the ridgetops all the way down to a place called Soames Bar, where it empties into the Trinity. Anyhow, they put in fiber optic lines. They put in fiber optic lines on a government grant, and there's no electricity. So here he's got a fiber optic cable on the road right out in front of his house. His electricity comes from a Pelton wheel or a gasoline generator. And they didn't even put in electricity when they put in a goddamn fiber optic.
Man, what kind of scrambled thinking is that?
I don't know. Prior planning, you know, that old saying. Well, somebody screwed up.
I've got 500 down and 50 up from a bankrupt company. So that tells me it's not that expensive.
I mean, he's an 80-year-old... Native American guy living on the family plot of dirt that they've been on forever. I think his grandparents were born there. But, yeah, I mean, it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And he's got fiber optic and no electricity to run a computer.
Well, bandwidth is cheap.
Jesus, that's really just beautiful.
Can't win for losing. Shit. That's sad. I'm telling you, I know how to fix that
from
shit.
A logistical standpoint, from their end, but
not even a Gilligan's Island coconut bicycle, Roger.
And nothing.
Smoke signals, baby. Smoke signals.
No, nothing. Okay, I was say, it's his Pelton wheel, and there was a fire that went through there a while back, and his water line, even though he was running water down it the whole time, the forest fire burnt up the pipe. That plastic pipe coming down the mountainside, the fire was hot enough to a tree fell across it and burnt it. And so he lost his Pelton wheel, the water supply to the Pelton wheel, and he had to replace that. They did save his property because the Forest Service camped out on his property and saved it. But I mean, the stupidity of putting fiber optic in and not putting an electric line in the same ditch.
That just defies logic, you know. Jesus Christ.
Two separate companies.
There's a whole other contract that could be had for that.
Yeah, it's two separate companies, man.
Yep, there you go.
Well, yeah, and then the road's so goddamn narrow that they had to shut it down for 2 hours, 3 hours at a time while they were digging the ditch to put the fiber optic in.
Yeah. My closest fiber optic line, 4 miles down the road.
Scott mentioned the Ken Burns Country Music Series. I just found a clip. Let's check this out real quick. Dear Mother Maybell.
Shelby, for real?
Dear Mother Maybell, there are many evil people here in Nash Vegas. I have even seen people dancing and drinking beer. I cannot wait to get home to the hills of Virginia, lest I fear I fall into the traps of sin and perdition that present themselves on every corner. Yours, your darling boy. Sorry, just had to do that. Did you? You can't mention. You can't mention a new Ken Burns series without cranking up a little Ashokan Farewell or Ashokan Farewell.
See, where else are y'all going to get such fine entertainment? Nowhere, I'm telling you, baby.
You know, the weird thing is, Bob, and I only worked one country format in my checkered radio career, and it was briefly because the guy who owned the station changed formats every 3 months during the year that I was there. So we were all over the fucking place. But I have a preference for country swing from the 40s and a lot of the vintage country stuff from the 50s and 60s and 70s.
A little Bob Wills, you say.
Yeah, I'm not real big on the modern country or current country from the 80s, 90s, and today.
So is this a confession to communism or what? I mean, you know, let's clear the air here, Scott.
Look, Gritty, the cows are back.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to this show because it's apparently, according to a couple of reviews I read, the story will be told with the high points and the low points and the true stories and the false stories and the warts, up to and including the racial and the women parody in country music. Because, you know, old Charlie Pride had and even a few modern black country artists did not have an easy time of it. And same goes for a lot of the women. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I just can't
Scott,
wait.
In case you're interested, the last hour of Washington Journal was dedicated to this new country series coming out. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to look for that. And I keep saying I'm going to call in one of these mornings, and I promise I will, because I love to shake them up. Nothing thrills me more than using their own stupidity against them, you know?
My turn. Can I talk now?
Yeah, let me just put out a thank you to Kay.
Only if we can listen.
Put out a thank you, and yes, a cowbell, because in response to the Joe Biden 33 and a third challenge, our anonymous friend included a note. Worn and scratched and out of date 33, 45, 78. That was 233 and a thirds, actually more. That was a 70. We got a 78 in there just because, you know, Joe probably remembers 78s.
In honor of Dr. Goldmark.
So, yes, indeed. Thank you very kindly. And I can happily announce that we have finished. The community made miracle is complete.
Outstanding Horn family.
And I got to throw a couple of things in here. Speaking of country music, Ron in the soon-to-be frozen north says, I have a preference for bluegrass, bluegrass, and more bluegrass, all the way from Bill Monroe to the infamous String Dusters. Yeah, and like you, Scott, the closest I got was playing country gospel five nights a week and weekend mornings for about 3 years. And that'll
well,
just
is that the same as Southern gospel?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, go listen to the Happy Goodman Family, and you'll understand why my brain is the way it is.
Well, some of the, Bob, in all honesty, some of those Southern gospel quartets were not half bad. I mean, the theology.
Some of those outfits had studios that would have made Roger Waters, David Gilmour, The Who, The Stones, Weep. Okay.
Big business, baby.
I mean, there were. I was playing gospel records by J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, and that was Elvis's fucking backup band.
And the two that I really liked were Jake Hess, I believe his name was, and there was another guy. Oh God, I used to see him on TV from time to time. Long dead. Both of them been dead for 20 years or more. But I just something about that music. I know the theology's a little warped. But the spirit of it, you know, they put their hearts into it.
Well, yeah, and they and a lot of them knew they were engaged in a grift, okay. But it was a good dollar, and you know, all kidding aside, country music winds up in Nashville because Nashville had an already burgeoning, booming, thriving Christian publishing industry.
That's why. Oh yeah, moved to Austin.
That's where, isn't that where I can't remember the name of the publishing house, but it's a big Christian publishing house down that way.
What is it, Zondervan or?
One of them. I've been away from Christian literature for some years, thankfully.
Happily so. Clarity, I heard Clarity out there.
Yes. For country, old country, and bluegrass, from 6 to 9 Pacific time on KBOO.FM. I don't think they have a podcast, so you have to listen to them live. But the first 3 hours, they play old country, classic country, B-sides, and then they play bluegrass from 9 to 12.
And was that KV or KB?
No, K-Boy, K-B-O-O.
K-B-O-O.
K-Boo.
K-Boo Country.
It's actually a community radio station. They play everything, but that's their country time. It's from 6 to 12 on Saturday mornings.
Here's one for you, Bob. In the early 70s, when I volunteered at WGTB-FM, the Georgetown University station.
Well, no, time out. That's just too weird. You were at WGTB?
Yeah.
I was at WBTG.
Well, there you go. But this was in the early 70s. It was technically a campus run, a Jesuit run FM radio station with a kick-ass signal in the D.C. region and beyond. But they had been taken over by a lot of anarchists and leftists. And it was like anarchy on the airwaves. And so there was special programming for everybody. And one of the special programming slots every Saturday was Friends, which was produced by the Stonewall Nation Media Collective, and they needed somebody to run the board for them who didn't have a problem with supporting a gay radio program. And I would not pre-listen to the records. And one day the host handed me an album by Lavender Pink or some sort of gay country group from the early 70s, and said, play side one, cut four, whatever it was. And the song was Crying These Cock-Sucking Tears. And I did not preview it, so therefore, as it went out, I'm watching my license go away, the station's license go away, and it was quite a frightening moment, but we didn't get any calls. So
yeah, it's like
good.
The smoke going up the chimney at the Sistine Chapel.
Indeed, yes. Oh, God.
Anyway, back to trolling. You were talking about calling in.
Yes.
This morning on Majority Report, this Canadian comic, his name is Chris James, and his channel is called Not even a show on YouTube. Not even a show. Anyway, he calls in and he's trolling to art. And now he's training people how to troll on his station. And anyway, he called in, and this is his recommendation. Call in to a conservative show and talk about, I have this sibling. My sister-in-law, she is such a libtard. And then, he calls into Gorka. She says, Gorka, he's a ass-faced pendejo. He smells, and it goes on. And Gorka's going, oh, that must be horrible to have that. And then at the end, he'll, come out as a troll. And they all go back to your mom's basement. And anyway, he got his dad to call into one of these conservative shows after he had trolled him for a while and said, you need to help me get my son out of my basement. And this talk show host was, being father to father, having a father talk about this comedian in his basement. Anyway, you have to check it out. This guy is funny. He does voices. Don't have call screening. He'll just keep calling time after time and changes his name every time.
I wish I could do it funny. I just scream a lot.
He got this one host. He doesn't take calls anymore because he trolled him so bad the guy didn't want to take any more calls. So anyway, that's
doing it right.
That's kind of like Limbaugh. Limbaugh very seldom picks up the phone because he likes to hear himself prattle on and on.
Rush Limbdick.
God.
The oxymoron.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, Scott, do you remember 88.5 out of DC, WAMU?
Yeah.
They did a lot of bluegrass. I mean,
they're still a going concern. I mean,
yep.
Do you know two people who were instrumental in the founding of that station back in the 50s when they were students there? Were Ed Walker and Willard Scott, who later went on to be the Joy Boys on the NBC station in D.C.
And then Ray Davis came along. He was an icon as far as promoting.
Yeah. And old Fred Fisk was on there for 20-some years until he passed on. That guy was so old when he passed, Fred Fisk. I don't know about that. But he was the White House announcer for the Mutual Broadcasting System, introducing FDR's fireside chat.
Jesus, he's
been around.
A couple of things. I mentioned that I had intentions of ruining dinner in the Pacific time zone.
Here we go, Bob. Here we go.
And you're mentioning he was so old he farted dust that it provides one of those convenient segues.
Slide right in there, Bob.
You too, John. You too. It too.
Let's go, baby.
It too, Johan.
That's it. Let's
go on, Bob. Whip it out. Whip one out for us.
Here we go.
I'm waiting.
I'm telling you, people, where else are you going to find such fine entertainment?
One of these days.
While we go right down in the ditch. Hold on. Yep. Let's go, Bob.
Yep. Right into the ditch. So in Australia, they have a laboratory that is dedicated to studying human decomposition.
Oh, shit. That's a smelly job, ain't it?
And a researcher has produced a new paper. It's kind of fascinating, but boy, is it gross.
What do you got, Bob?
So there was a donor body. Somebody donated, your body to medical science. You like to think that they're going to be doing, but no, this poor, and it's Australia, so he's a bloke. This poor bloke gets stuck in a case in this research facility, and they shoot time-lapse photography of him rotting.
Oh, God.
You got to know what happens, Bob.
For a year.
Oh, shitskies.
It's like the banana on the counter.
And so
they can speed it up.
I mean, and there's some interesting science that comes out of it. Because we now know that corpses move around
Oh, God.
Whilst buried for up to a year.
Boy, how does shit. Man's got the rhythm.
And they said, you know, the body starts out with the arms down at the side. And the next thing, well, not the next thing you know, but a while later, the arms are no longer down at the side.
Sure ain't nobody's coming in there.
It's like the dead guy's doing some sort of post-mortem hand jive.
Them bones.
Bones. That's it, baby.
And I mean, they were real scientific about it. They said it's because as the ligaments desiccate, they necessarily pull the bones while they're still attached to the bones.
The phenomenon is known as crypt kicking.
Crypt kicking.
You know what? You may have just invented that, but I kind of like it. Like it. But yeah, that's that should be it. So I don't and who knows to what extent the spiritual has to do with this, because maybe somebody like passes away before they get to see Trump leave the White House, and a year later you dig them up and they got that middle finger up there going,
fuck you. I seen it from down here.
Show from Baltimore.
Oh, with the rat?
No, the motorcade in Baltimore.
Oh yeah, with the bird. Everybody.
Flipping the bird and saying "fuck Trump."
And the inflatable rodent.
Yes, the inflatable rodent. But there's a whole crowd of people. Everybody had their finger out there, sticking it out there for him. I was happy to see that.
That was a beautiful thing.
And they were white.
It was a beautiful thing. I teared up.
Of course,
it's hot and dark in here.
He also forgot his vice president's name, though. So there's that.
Oh, Pouncey?
Mike Pounce.
Pounce. That's what it was. Pounce.
And we found out today that Ivanka credits her daddy for her moral center.
Oh yeah. Well, who's she sleeping with?
And then finally, the last thing as we head out the door. Last night I talked about that scurrilous Pekapf ad that was going to run about the evils of Medicare for All. But it turned out that all along Sinclair Broadcasting had something even nastier planned.
Oh, shit.
Did you see the setting fire to a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burn. I saw the clip.
And the sad thing out of it is that it proved to be a case study in how little people understand about how broadcast advertising works. Because that thing didn't run all over the country. It ran in select markets on Sinclair stations.
Mostly Sinclair, yes, sir.
Well, it was entirely Sinclair.
Yep.
Because Sinclair was the only one that would run it. But everybody was getting on ABC's case, and God knows there's plenty to give Hail Columbia to ABC over, starting with George Snuffleupagus, and lo and behold, doing the color commentary back in pageant room was Rahm Emanuel. No shit, the same two goons who the previous Sunday had shit all over Medicare for All. But the worst part of it though is that people did not understand that was not ABC running that ad. That was Sinclair Broadcasting.
It was the ABC affiliates owned by Sinclair.
Right, and they were running those ads in the local availability. So you've got a guy with a bajillion followers who first points it out, and you'd think he would be media savvy, but he didn't even understand that ABC didn't run it. We need to understand the difference, because it's kind of important, the difference between a network availability and a local avail.
Yeah.
So, when you're listening to radio or watching TV, when you're watching a network program over the air or whatever, and the next thing you know, you're seeing an ad for Jim Bob's Texaco free car wash with fill up on Fridays. Well, that ain't being run by the network. That is a local availability. And see, the thing is, though, it's all, but because it was over the air broadcasting, it actually opens up that Sinclair ABC station or every ABC Sinclair station that ran it to some serious FCC problems. Because
well, what was the gist of the ad?
Well, it was about socialism. And it said, and it was a voiceover by this horrible, also ran Republican candidate from California who lost to Jim Acosta, and her name's
who's a Cambodian.
Yeah, she's a Cambodian named Hung, and it starts out with a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and it says this, and she says in her voiceover, "This is the face of socialism." And then Alexandria Ocasio's photograph face catches fire and burns up. And it transposes transitions to a photograph of human skulls, and she begins talking about her daddy was almost killed by socialism in Cambodia until he was saved by a forced marriage. That's socialism. Does Alexandria okay? But the point is, those Sinclair stations should be held to account for essentially stochastic terrorism and advocating violence against a sitting member of Congress, which is, everybody, illegal.
Illegal.
And so are you holding your breath? Baby.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all that business about putting letters in their FCC file is still real. You can still complain, and I would say it not only was it a violation of federal law, it was also obscene.
Yes.
Well, the public files now, it used to be you had to actually write the letter, and if you wanted to inspect it at renewal time, you had to physically go to the studio, to the office, and request to look through the public file. It's all online now, which I guess is good in a way for convenience, but I dare say 85 out of 100 people don't even know what a public file is. Vis-a-vis TV and radio stations, and what weight it carries in a renewal application. If there's a lot of stuff in your public file that's bona fide, that speaks against you continuing to be the license holder, there's some power in that, or used to be anyway.
Enough power to overcome money?
Well, you could at least put them through the misery of having to answer them.
Well, yeah, because it at that point, if they've got to jump through flaming hoops, then it's no longer a simple matter of rubber stamping, you know, the thing every 7 years or whatever renewals are now. Put them up, make them go out of their way. If they really want to hold on to the license, make them, you know, work for it.
So if you're in a Sinclair broadcasting area, take that advice. Make that complaint.
What's going to hurt?
Yeah. Well, it's a subsidiary of Fox. It might as well be.
Yeah.
You know, it's that same.
No, I don't watch the local TV stations.
Yeah. Well, we watch the local.
Well, believe
unless
it or not.
Unless they got sports on them, and then I watch them.
A couple of years ago, Channel 7 in Washington, D.C., WJLA, the last time I was there, bought by Sinclair. So you've got in the nation's
feature.
Fucking capital,
yeah.
a Sinclair-owned and operated ABC affiliate. So they probably saw it there, Bob. You know?
Yeah. And since it's over-the-air stuff, it's subject to complaint.
Bob, hey, I got to get out of here.
To the end of the show, can we do sports?
Yeah, go ahead, Sparky.
Goodbye, Duncan.
Hey, Steve, thanks for jumping in. And you and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy, have a wonderful weekend. You hear?
And Scott, I appreciate you guys. Everybody, I appreciate the whole Horn family. dearly. I hope to catch you guys soon.
Thank you, Steve.
You take care, Steve.
Take care of yourself, Bob.
All right, bye now.
Take care, Steve.
Okay, here's what I want to know, Bob. And I don't know if you saw it, but I watched Thursday Night Football last night, and Cam Newton stunk up the joint. But his press conference, he goes in there with a scarf on and made him look like Little Red Riding Hood with his spiky hair sticking out the front. And you know he does fashion statements, but that was the weirdest thing I ever seen anybody wear to a press conference.
I saw a photo, and I mean, I just figure, you know, look, you got millionaire athletes wearing $300,000 watches during football games now. Anything resembling normal is over. I mean, I would happily go back to the day when the biggest controversy was Terrell Owens signing a football with a fucking Sharpie.
Those days are long gone,
anyway,
Bob.
Your West Virginia kicker, it used to be West Virginia, now plays for the Panthers, made all his field goals last night.
Yeah, we produced some decent kickers over the years. Of course, tomorrow. I mean, this is just the long season is all this is now. Tomorrow,
but your old quarterback's a bench warmer.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna who? Will Grier?
Yeah. They kept showing the bench, and he'd be with an earpiece in his head, swimming clothes and not dressed, you know, just wandering around.
Yeah, he's got. I know they all want to play the minute they hit the league, but there's a hell of a lot more. There's a hell of a lot more to be said for letting a rookie quarterback learn a little bit before you throw him to the Lions. I mean, this is Baker Mayfield's second season. And with the Browns, my God, he looked terrible last week. But for me,
well, he's got to look good. He's on Monday Night Football this week, so he's got to look good, or everybody's going to be on his ass.
Well, yeah. Who they got Monday night?
The Jets, whose quarterback has mononucleosis.
Well, I'd say Cleveland should be able to handle the Jets, but hell, I figured they'd handle the Titans.
You know, football, that's a line, baby. You know, on my show Thursday night, we were live, and I pointed out what dedication I have because I'm live on my show while Dallas is playing. Now, I'm a Dallas fan. So I got, like, what, 8 people in the room there on Discord talking? Not a Cowboy fan amongst them. You know, it was like I'm talking to a whole bunch of people. Oh, look there, John, your Cowboys suck. Yeah, but they won the other night. I want to point that out. But, yeah, they love me, Bob. They don't necessarily love my Cowboys, though. So,
well, I
forgive them for it, and I'm going to pray for them.
I'm a member of that congregation, John.
Yeah, fuck you, too. I'll pray for you too, Bob.
you do that, and I'll keep praying that Jerry Jones doesn't win another goddamn football game.
See, that's why we're not winning, Bob.
The Cowboys can become a force to be reckoned with again. About the time that a year has passed and Jerry Jones's arms have started to wave in the box.
We might have a shot then when we get rid of his ass.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we have son.
Oh Lord. Well,
but it's tomorrow, my boys. You know, tomorrow
I hang with them. But yeah, it's been a long time since I have had anything to cheer for.
Tomorrow I will be. Tomorrow morning I'll get up bright and surly and start working on the ribs and the chicken. And about noon I'll put a bag over my head and put on the Mountaineer game. It's going to be a long, long, long season. And
well, but that chicken's going to taste good, though, Pop.
Oh, it's going to be better than the crow we're eating as Mountaineer fans. Yeah, but yeah,
I'm very familiar with crow, Bob. A lot of Tabasco.
That's about all I say is it. John Bridavo, thank you kindly. Sparky, thank you for moderating. So good to hear from you, Clarity. Didn't get it yet to ask, but I presume you're. Your recovery and recuperation continues apace. Thank you, Roger, for jumping in, and thanks for helping out with Tracy's 33 and a third challenge. Thank you to Scott in San Diego Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you to our to Steve from Georgia Stan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Go by, check them out, see what's going on at CRMW.net sometimes. And note that CRMW, Coal River Mountain Watch, is celebrating 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.